Welcome to National Alliance's weekly call. Today is April 15, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over a radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with our scripture reading. We're in the Gospel of John. Tonight we're looking at John chapter 12, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord! And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, An angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, and how sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Okay, before we get started, I just want to remind everyone of our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. There's not many things more important than this. We have to have educated sheriffs. And again, many of our sheriffs may appear to be individuals that are not protective of the people, and that could very well be because of their ignorance. So it's up to us to educate our sheriffs and to put them in a point or a position that they have to respond. And we do teach you how to do that through the handbooks with creating committees of safety. But nevertheless, everyone should be purchasing a book for their sheriff. And even if they get more than one, well, they got extra ones to give to their deputies. So all you have to do is come under sheriff here and join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. And read the instructions here, follow the information, purchase the book, it's only $39 and change, and get it to your sheriff. And go forward with a meeting with him eventually to spend some time after you give him the book. But again, follow the instructions on the page because we have specifics. We have Sheriff Darr, who was with us a few weeks back, and he wrote a letter concerning the importance of education, and he gave a good... overview of the book, Government by Consent, and of course National Liberty Alliance has a letter. So both those letters should be downloaded and folded up and put inside the book when you present it to the sheriff. Anyway, we do have instructions on the process and procedure, how to do this, the best way to do this, and we'll talk about that hopefully as time goes on some more. But with that, Jan, do we have any questions or any announcements for tonight?
Yes, we have several questions. The first one starts out with a quote.
By the way, before you go on, hold on a minute, John.
Okay.
If anybody hears any, I guess my sound, well, let me think. Well, Jan, when you're talking, if anybody hears Jan coming over my mic, I guess, because I'm listening through my speakers tonight, not using my headset. Just let me know, and I'll have to do something to fix that. But anyway, go ahead, John.
Okay, we start with a quote. Such rules shall not abridge, enlarge, or modify any substantive right. All laws in conflict with such rules shall be of no further force or effect after such rules have taken effect. It seems to me like this says the laws will not be enforced or in effect because of the rules, not the other way around. I know that cannot be true, even if that's what that means. I won't be on the call, but I'll listen later. I have other questions, too.
Okay. Well, on that, look, they have made the rules. The rules supersede everything and anything. It supersedes the law. It supersedes common sense. It supersedes common law. It supersedes our Constitution. It supersedes the Bill of Rights. As insane as that might sound, however it sounds, that's the fact. Matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about the problem that's going on. We have subverted at such a great level at every part of our government, whether it's the federal government, state government, the county government, town government, the village government. They're all polluted. Every single one of those governments are polluted at every single level. Now, I'm sure there are a few counties here and there, maybe a few places here or there that obey the law or responsive to the people. But I have yet to see it. And I have been in many courts. I have been in federal courts, state courts, in town courts, village courts. We've talked to many people, and they just don't want to be obedient to the people. That's it. They just don't want it. Now, a lot of it, I think, is because they've been bribed by something or they have something on these people. You know, but we have too many criminals. Anytime you get a power structure, anytime you get power anywhere, you'll get the crazies will come out. People who are either, you know, sociopaths or psychopaths, they seek those areas. And they come in and those are the positions they've taken. And they have totally filled up our government. And that is a major problem. And only the people can change that. No one else can change that. Only the people can save America. Only the people can get rid of these tyrants, and only the people can prevent this from happening again. Nobody else can do that but the people. So we need to step up and do something. And tonight, hopefully, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things we can do, as we've been doing for the past couple of weeks and for many years. But we're really starting to focus in on teaching something specific every single Monday now. We've got a lot to teach people and a lot for people to learn. But if a people expect to be ignorant and free, as Thomas Jefferson said, forget about it. It's not going to happen. They expect what never was and never will be. But we're going to talk a little more about this in a little while. Go ahead, Jim.
Covenant. That word is used. Where can I find that people at that time thought of the Declaration and Constitution as a covenant with God? They mentioned God, but how does that make it a covenant?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, our founding fathers, most of them were Christians. Most of them were pious Christians. So we've come under the common law. The common law is the Bible. So there's no way to get around it. Either we're going to be ruled by men or we're going to be ruled by God. You know, our founding fathers decided we want to be ruled by God. So we formed, for the second time in world history, our founding fathers formed a common law republic. And again, we're the second one where God is the king of our court. And that's where the structure is. As a matter of fact, the original paperwork that went back and forth with the Declaration of Independence had the name Jesus Christ in it. A lot of our founding fathers found, well, that may be a little bit a problem with some people, so they did kind of just put nature's God, the God of nature and of nature. You know, how is it? Let me see how it's read exactly, as a matter of fact. Hang on one second.
The laws of nature and nature's God.
And nature's God. Yep, that's it. But let me take a quick look here. I'm just going to read a paragraph or two, maybe just one paragraph, well, two paragraphs. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And of course it goes on that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. And we plan on altering back to where we belong at some point in time after devolution. Now, the thing is, we go into the Bible, and the Bible tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And again, our founding fathers built this upon the Bible, which is, of course, common law. Common law ultimately is common sense, and it's following the heart. The Bible says that God had written his law into the hearts of men. So we have that. We did a, let me see, if we go here to today's issues, I think it is. Oh, no, wouldn't be there. Hold on. As a matter of fact, under Start a Committee of Safety, Christianity in America, okay? We did a video on this some months back. Here it is, Memorandum of Law, Engel versus Vitale. That was the Engel versus Vitale was the court case, I believe it was 1963, that took the Bible out of our school. And we wrote a paper, a memorandum in that, and that's part of one of the things we do want to fight to get back the Bible into school. But let me tell you some of our founding fathers have to say, you know. For instance, this is the United States Annotated Code, Article 3, and this is what it states. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind. Schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. George Washington said, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humility to employ his protection and favor. Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said, the great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at school. Okay, that's only three quotes of many, 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 many quotes. And here's the key thing. You know, we see that we're under the laws of nature. We ask for the blessings of his liberty. And in the beginning of our Constitution, you know, it reads that we the people, let me read it very specifically. Hang on a minute. Okay. It says very specifically, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. And that's the key, secure the blessings of liberty. Liberty is a blessing. The Declaration of Independence was very clear of our rights. It talks about the right to life and let me see very specifically, give me a second here.
Say again, John. Next question.
Hang on a minute. I just want to be a little more specific on what I was talking about. Remember, here. We have the right that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the key focus. I mean, it covers quite a bit, really, when you look at that. But again, the preamble to the Constitution, we the people, one of the things we declared in order to form this perfect union, is that the government job is to secure the blessings of liberty. The blessings of liberty, again, brings us right back to common law, which brings us right back to the Bible. So if we can't be hypocrites and say, well, we want your blessings, God, but, you know, we're not going to follow your law, but maybe we'll follow some of it. Well, that's not what our founding fathers talked about, nor is it what the Constitution says, nor is it what the Declaration of Independence says. So clearly, this was a covenant with God. As long as we are under his law and being obedient to his law, we'll receive his blessings. And apparently, or obviously, we haven't been blessed very much lately. But of course, we have this New World Order, which identifies with Leviathan in the Bible. But nevertheless, you know, we've been, our nation has totally been destroyed and turned upside down. They destroyed our economic system. They destroyed our political system. They destroyed our court system. They destroyed our schools. They destroyed everything. And this was all done by the minions of the New World Order. And the minions of the New World Order are the bar attorneys. You know, they came into this nation actually before we became a nation, when we were colonies. They came in 1750. And the king sent them here for the sole purpose of destroying our judicial process because we were under the common law. They had left the common law, and they were trying to keep us under control, and they had to get rid of this common law process in the courts. And that's why the bar attorneys came here. And again, everything has been destroyed in the courts, and that's how they destroyed everything. They've taken control of all of it, political, judicial, and economic system, schools, the whole works. But it's up to the people to change this. We, the people, can change this. We can bring it back. But you have to do something. You have to get educated. And you have to give some of your time. Liberty is not free. And if people don't want to get up and protect the liberty and take it back and bring these people back under the control of the people, put a lot of them maybe at the end of a short rope or in jail, whatever juries might decide. But they have done a lot of destruction. A lot of people have died. A lot of lives have been destroyed. And this has been going on for 100 years. This is not just something new. This goes back actually to, I guess the most powerful part of this whole thing goes back to the Organic Act of 1871. That's when this nation was shut down and we became a corporation, moving towards corporatism. And that's where we're at. So actually since 1871, we've been in that process of destruction. And so you go to 1971, that's 100 years. So another 25, that's almost 140, 150 years. Our system has been corrupted. And, of course, a lot of it has taken time. And the courts have hit their final blow in the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, and which came into effect in 1934 Rules Enabling Act, and that came into effect in 1938. And even though the courts were a little shy about that, now they've become very bold, extremely bold, much more bolder than I can even imagine. And I've been spending a lot of time in courts over the years. Many of us here in National Liberty Alliance has been working, trying to do something about this, but only the people can do it. People got to step up. They got to take control. It's got to be done on the grassroots. They need to get educated. They need to be informed. They need to work together and agree to wherever they can agree upon and take this nation back. So it's up to the people. But indeed, we do have a covenant with God. We ask for his blessings, and he indeed has given us his blessings. No nation in this world has been more blessed than the United States of America, with the exception of going back some 1,400 years ago with Israel. They were blessed far more than us. Within reason, for quite some time, they did stay loyal and focused and true to the principles and the law of God. But eventually, they too fell astray. All right, we have that opportunity to take it back. Next question, Jim.
Where exactly, so I can memorize it, did we, the people, ordain common law as the law of the land, like in one sentence or a couple here and there?
Well, it's found in the Constitution itself. It's under Article, let's see, let me find the exact place. It's under Article 4, is it? 3. Article 6. This is Article 6, Clause 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, and which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in this Constitution or the laws of any state of the Constitution, any laws of the state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. Now, that's built upon, really, it is in 4, I believe, where we read this power and authority. Maybe actually it's in 2. Hang on a minute. Executive power is 2, then 3, I think, gives it the judicial powers. Okay, yeah, it's in 3, not 4. Okay, the judicial power of the United States, let me see if I can get the right. Okay, here it is, Section 2. Article 3, Section 2. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. Now, equity is legislative law. Law, if you go into Black's Law Dictionary to look up the meaning of law, in law, or at law, it is common law. It is law that's ultimately, well, generally speaking, it's common law, natural law. If you go into Bouvier's dictionary, you'll find the same thing. You look up law, at law, or in law, you'll find it's common law. And it is not legislated law. So it's really common law. It's the law that God has put in the hearts of men and is written in his book, the Bible. So that's where you'll find it, pretty short and sweet. Again, Article 3, Section 2. But of course, you have to do some homework. You know, look at the Constitution is a very small booklet. I mean, it's only a couple of pages. I mean, if you put it on an 8.5 by 11 sheet, you know, it may take up 4 pages, if that. These little handbooks that we have, and they write them in a font, 8 or 9, I guess, and it's only, you know, 20 pages or so for the full Constitution, and then you add, of course, on top of that, the Bill of Rights. But it's a very small book. But you have to look at the words in each one of these paragraphs, and you have to go into the dictionaries, the law dictionaries. Again, we have Black's Law that you can download that on our line here, on National Liberty Alliance, and we also have Bouvier's Law. You can download that also. With Black's Law, we have the second edition, third edition, and we might have fourth edition. Second and fourth we have. We might have third edition. But in any event, okay, you have to go to meanings to see what these words mean. You know, legal. When you look at things in the legal world and you look at words, you know, they're not necessarily what we may think of it outside of the legal terms. So you really have to go to the legal books and find out the meaning of these things. Law, you know, they call equity, which is legislative law, law. And to some degree, of course, it is law. It's law for those people who are working for government agencies. It's law for the people who are operating in commercial activity. They have to go underneath regulations, statutes, codes, whatever the case may be. It's written up that we've given the power to the legislators to write that law, to govern those commercial activities, to govern government activities. And so we've got that, and it was a pretty good job was done with that. But of course, there's a lot of polluted stuff that they added in, and then they've applied it to the people. Rule 2 of the Rules Enabling Act that gave the power to the Supreme Court, which actually the Bar Association wrote this, the rules of the court, and Rule 2 abrogated the common law. It took equity and law, combined them together, called it civil law. So now today, we the people, all people are under civil law, which is Babylonian law. Civil law find, and you talk to a lot of lawyers. A lot of lawyers will tell you we're under Roman law. You know, that's where our law comes from, Rome. Well, that has nothing to do with we the people. Okay, Roman law goes to Babylonian law. So if we got it from Roman law, Roman law got it from Justinian law. It was just a repackaging of Babylonian law. So we're under the laws of the city. It's called municipality law. And that's why they call these government agencies, for instance, on the local level particularly, you know, your towns, your villages, your cities, and even your counties, they call them municipalities. And there's municipality law. And that's what you're living under. And that's a law to control, the individual, to control man. So that's where it's found, like I said, Article 2, Section, Article 3? We'll go take a
look. Is it Article 3? Also, John, in the Fifth Amendment, it says, like you were saying, you have to read this stuff to know what it means, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property out through process of law. This can only be common law, can't be anything else. No matter what any dirty, stinking communist says, this can only be common law. That's all it can be. You can go back to the 52nd paragraph of Magna Carta. It reads a lot like that. That's a common law document. This is a common law document. And then in the Amendment 7, it says, in suits at common law. So it actually spells it out there. But, just so you know, 52nd, if anyone in Magna Carta, if anyone shall have been dispossessed or removed by us without legal judgment of his peers from his lands, castles, franchises, or his right, we will restore them to him immediately. If contention arises about this, then it shall be done according to the judgment of the 25 barons. There's our grand jury. So anyway, like you're saying, you have to read to know what this stuff actually means. But there's no way that in the late 1780s that this was anything other than the common law. Amen. I yield.
Yeah, and if you go into law dictionaries to look up different jurisdictions, there's 51 jurisdictions. One of those jurisdictions is a law, and no matter what you do, no matter where you go, law is the common law. All the rest of it is legislative law, and they may have different names for us for this. You know, our legislative law, we call, which is equity, okay, in our case. And equity ultimately really brings us back to common law again, because even equity is to be written under the laws of nature. In other words, it has to have common sense. It has to be approved by the people. And that's the thing the people don't know. They don't understand. And they need to understand. We are the lawmakers. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for them. We are the lawmakers. You know, the way it was set up, of course, we've lost a lot of this. Judges and bar attorneys have taken control of a lot of this stuff in the courts. But the ultimate fact of the matter is that it's up to the people to decide whether to charge someone with a crime or not. They have to come and they have to get an indictment. They have to ask the people, can we have an indictment for this? And we say yay or nay, and that's it. It's over with. Okay? And then if we do say yay, okay, yeah, we agree, there's a crime here, take it into the courts. Well, we, the people, decide. We decide the law, we decide the facts, and we decide, what the penalty might be with an eye on restitution. None of that happens. You know, we've seen judges overturn jury decisions. We've seen judges move that people are guilty, even though that it wasn't, all 12 of the individuals with the jury. You know, if you get 10 or 11 or whatever, hey, that's good enough. We've seen judges make rulings without a jury. We've seen people go to jail as up to at least a year, and maybe in some places more, without an indictment. Well, that is all contrary to our founding documents. It's all contrary to the laws that we are under, which is the laws of nature, and of nature's God, which brings us again, right back to the Bible. Search the world out. Anybody who really searches the world out, honestly, to consider what religion might be the real one, and you look at all of them, well, there's only one that fills the bill. I have looked at many other religions many, many years ago, and I've seen, and there's no doubt about it from my perspective, that the Bible is the Word of God. But again, people don't have to believe that. That's not they're not forced to believe that. You can still participate in whatever it is we do in America. You could be an atheist and be elected to an office, but you still have to obey the law. And it, the heart, you know, like God says, he wrote his law in the hearts of men. We know when someone has been injured. You could be an atheist. You can be, you know, any other religion you might want to choose. It does not matter. Or an atheist. And you know when a person has been injured. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not, you know, if you injure another person, you've done wrong. Was it on purpose? Well, then it could be a crime. Was it by accident? Well, you may still be liable, at least in a civil court. But we know the law. It's written in the hearts. We know it. So as long as anybody who takes an office, puts up an oath, and swears to obey to the Constitution, those are the basic rules we live by, okay? And as long as they don't step outside of that, they're good. The key thing is common sense, because you know, common law is really ultimately common sense. It just makes common sense. It's that simple. All right, next question.
Can a towing company who has had my car for 4 years not allow me to, one, have a mechanic go on the property to see what repairs may be necessary to see if it's worth getting out, and two, my personal items are still in the car? He should allow me to get those.
Well, again, I can't say much about this, but one thing I can say about this, hopefully you have a sheriff in that county, and hopefully the sheriff has some common sense to it, because you can go to him and get some, at least get your things out of the car. They can't keep your things. Okay, so that's the best. Go talk to your sheriff. So, next question.
I plan on visiting my state representative's local office in person, because any letters I have sent in the past apparently did not make it to him. There are many grievances that I want to present to him due to unconstitutional legislative decisions made by him. I would like to know what blank, unnamed, or unfiled forms NLA offers that I could present to him as a warning if he does not amend his political behavior or his staff rebuts in an unreasonable or belligerent manner to my grievances. Any help appreciated.
Well, if you have a good position, you possibly can get something done with pursuing folks in harm. The problem with that is I think most of them have open harm. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about that in a while. I'm not going to get too deep in this. You know, but the key thing is you go after their oaths, their bonds, and their financials. But look, they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to say all nice things. They're going to agree with you. They want to vote. Oh, we're going to do what we can. But then they end up doing whatever they want. They really don't care what we the people have to say. Very few people in office really care about what the people are. They just want their money, their pockets filled with money. And they'll do anything for anything. They're prostitutes. That's what they are. They're prostitutes. They're fools. And the only way we're going to correct this, only one way to correct this problem. Only the people can do it. And that is to get active on the grassroots level and exercise your unalienable right of government by consent. That's the only way. There is no other way. Trump can do what he wants to do. The White Hats can do what they got to do. They can give it back to the people. People don't know how to handle it. So these psychopaths and sociopaths will fill those voids, and we'll be right back here again. It's only a matter of time, because that's the nature of man. So you have to do something about this. Every person hearing my voice has to do something about this. And it's incumbent upon you to get other people to explain to them they got to do something about this. You got to get active on your county level. You have to get educated and understand how to have government by consent. If you don't know how to have government by consent, guess what? You don't have government by consent. You don't have a Bill of Rights. You don't have a Declaration of Independence. You don't have a Constitution. Because I could tell you right now, the courts don't care about those papers. Our founding documents are trash to them. That's the facts. It's that bad. It's worse than what you can ever possibly imagine. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a short while. Any other questions?
No, John, that's all the questions for me.
Okay. Let me get over to the handbooks here and open up The county committee of safety, let's see, committee man handbook. This is the committee man handbook. What people need to understand, okay, is that the committee man was the process by which our founding fathers set this nation forward. It is they were self-governing themselves through committees of safety. Those are the committee men. Those are the real committee men. That's how they had government by consent. You know, the government, England or Britain, back in those days was an absent government. And yeah, they came and enforced certain things, but ultimately they were absent. So our founding fathers collectively created their own legislators, legislated their own laws, and did their own business. And that's what we had when we were colonies, okay? Those people came together, all 13 colonies, the people of each colonies came together as committees of safety, and they came together collectively as 13 committees of safety, collectively speaking, and they put forth the first Continental Congress. And then they put forth the second Continental Congress, which was produced the Declaration of Independence. It was a committee of safety that went forward with the committees to create the Declaration of Independence. It was the committees of safety who negotiated through the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers the Constitution itself and the Bill of Rights. And it was the committees of safety, which were the committeemen of the day, that controlled and maintained government by consent for a period of time. But the minions of the New World Order were working in the background during that time, of course, and they were moving things to statutorize the whole process, and they did. They created statutes. They put a political process to it. They limited the number of people. They control who comes in and who doesn't by setting forth, party bosses. They created the two-party system. They had a right against the left, constant arguments, constant complaints, constant discussions on things they have no business discussing. There's nothing for them to discuss about our weapons. We've already settled that point. We wrote the Bill of Rights. We, the people, ordained the Bill of Rights. So we already told them we have a right to be armed to protect ourselves. We already told them we have a right, freedom of speech. There's nothing for them to discuss. We have, freedom of religion. There's nothing for them to discuss. What are they doing, debating and arguing and trying to make law around our rights? And they've made laws around all of our rights, and even the ones that aren't necessarily even put in print, but we have. Because we have every right we declare. As long as our right doesn't injure another individual by exercising that right, then that's a right we demand. We got it. Ain't nothing they could do about it. We, the people, are the lawmakers. This is what we have to get through our thick skulls. I know it took a little while before I realized how powerful that is. We declare the law. We can abrogate the law. We go into the courts and we can say we don't agree with that decision. It's out of here. But people don't know about that. They don't exercise that power and authority. That's government by consent. Of course, a couple of us here or there might know it, but we're so far and in between that they're too powerful. They got the guns. We can't get anywhere. But look, we do have devolution in play. Government's going to be handed back to the people. You'll have a republic again if you can keep it, as Benjamin Franklin said. So anyway, we have to exercise this process. So I want to talk a little bit tonight about the committee man. Obviously, I'm not going to go through this book. It's 40 pages, but I'm going to read a couple of pages. I think it's page 10 is where I want it to be. Nope, it's actually page 6. Okay, page 6. Now, I'm going to spend maybe 10, 15 minutes reading. Well, before I do this, I want to play this video. I found this video. I saw this today. This video, if you want to listen to it again at another time, you come under, let's see, today's issues and come down to today's issues and click on that. I think that's the page. Let's see. Yeah, that's the page. And this video, I just posted this video up, I think it was today. And so we're going to listen to this video and then we're going to talk a little more, then we'll open up for questions. Let me know how this sounds coming through, by the way. Hopefully it's not going to be like the music. Thank you.
On January 10th of 1963, 45 current communist goals were submitted to the Congressional Record. Number 13 was, do away with loyalty.
That sounds coming through, isn't it?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
60 years later, on the very same day, Biden, Obrador, and Trudeau met in Mexico City for the Declaration of North America, which states a plan to unify North America under the ideas of diversity, climate change, migration, health, and regional security. The beginnings of a North American Union, which is a step towards a one-world government. According to law, elected officials must swear an oath that they will support, defend, and bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And through the Freedom of Information Act, U.S. Attorney Todd Callender, along with his team at Project Proper Oath, found that not a single member of the existing cabinet has a valid oath of office. U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has no oath of office and has also failed to register as a foreign agent, which is required due to serving on the boards and conducting international business with Raytheon, Nucor, and Tenet Healthcare. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra, responsible for declaring a national emergency during COVID, has no oath of office. Former Director of the Centers for Disease Control Rochelle Walensky had no oath of office. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith, responsible for investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack, has no oath of office. U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia Matthew Graves, Chief Prosecutor of Jan Sixers, has no oath of office. Vice President of the United States Kamala Harris has no oath of office. Within 30 days of appointment to public office, all public officials are legally required to have a signed and notarized copy of their oath of office, and it appears as if no elected officials in the federal government have one. They are either non-existent, incomplete, or fraudulent. The fraudulent ones are missing signatures, are not notarized, and in most of them, the words, "So help me God," are in all caps. In the U.S. Constitution, "So help me God," is not in all caps. And this matters, as many have been telling us for decades, including the great Jordan Maxwell.
Today, the entire world of mankind operates under a world law, which is referred to as the law of the high seas, or international maritime admiralty. When you were born, you came out of your mother's water. Since you came out of your mother's water, you are a maritime product. This is why, when you were born, the dock has to sign your birth certificate. It's a maritime admiralty manifest showing that your mother brought you into the world and you were going to make money. Anything in this country, if it's a lawful legal document of any kind, your name must be, according to maritime law, be in all capital letters. Why? Because you do not own your body. You do not own yourself. All capital letters name implies that you are a maritime admiralty product. You are not a human. You're not a living entity. You are a product. Your living entity person, the actual you, is represented under law by upper and lower case names. So you are a corporation whether you know it or not. But you are merely a subsidiary of a larger corporation called United States. This is the way the law works.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right. So I'm pretty much convinced at this point that federal judges don't have oaths and bonds. They definitely don't have oaths. I'm pretty convinced of that. Yeah, I've asked many, many times for oaths and bonds, and I receive none of them ever. No matter what you do, we follow the law, the requirements, in order to make them produce it. They ignore it, and you can't get it enforced. Why? Because we don't have courts of justice anymore. I'd like to just make a quick note, because I'm looking at the list of people here in the room. A lot of people have come in on phones. A lot of them are wireless callers. Just want to let you know that there are apps that you can download and put on your phone, and you'll be able to see the desktop one. Maybe, even though we're seeing that they're coming in as a wireless caller, maybe they are on apps, but we are sharing our desktop. We do have some videos from time to time. We just played a five-minute video. So I just want to let you know that you can be looking at the desktop if you come in on an app or a browser. Okay, so oaths of office, that's been the major problem that we have. It's a serious problem. And there's not much we can do about it at the moment, unfortunately. I've given a lot of thought to this. We've written a lot of papers. We've tried to, push things in a certain way, put them under pressure, under the law. And they just don't care. They ignore it. And the people above them to try to get an appeal, they ignore it. All the way up to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court has been making some good moves lately, so in the last couple of years, as a matter of fact. So maybe we can push some things up there and get it done. We do intend on doing that eventually, but I'm thinking on waiting a little further until we get deeper into the devolution, and at some point towards its end is when we want to get into the courts and start to bring our courts of justice back. But meanwhile, people need to be organizing. You need to be doing what has to be done to take this nation back. Now, going back to the book, this is a handbook. You can download it on National Liberty Alliance. Again, let me go back to where it's at. It's under Start a Committee of Safety. Come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. Click on that button. And then the handbook is over here. There's quite a few handbooks. We have the Committee Man Handbook, which is what we're looking at right now. It's the County Committee of Safety Committee Man Handbook. And then we have the organizing handbook. So one is for organizing a committee of safety. This particular handbook we're going to look at tonight, this is for the purpose of operating as the true committeeman and to take control. The committeemen have the power and the authority to do a lot. They can maintain, that there be paper ballots. They can certify the paper ballots when they go through. They should be at the election district as people are coming to make their vote for whatever offices are up for that particular year. But we also have other handbooks. We have the Common Law Handbook, particularly for sheriffs or for anybody really in office. We have the Elected Officials Handbook. We have a Grand Jury Handbook. We have a Petit Jury Handbook. We have the Militia Code Rules and Regulations Handbook. We got a lot of handbooks here. And people should be reading this and coming to an understanding and a knowledge of how things work so we can take power back to the people. If you don't do this, you can't have government by consent. They want you to believe that you're government by consent. First of all, they want you to believe that we're a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. A democracy is destructive. The democracy is just the first step to an oligarchy. We're already an oligarchy. An oligarchy is a small group of people behind the scenes actually pulling the strings of the puppet that they put in office that we call a president. They control Congress, they control the court, they control everything. We are an oligarchy. And that was the purpose of democracy. They worked since the very beginning. They worked. The Democratic Party came to being in 98, I believe, 1798. Before that, they were the Federalists. And the Federalists were actually the people who wanted slavery to maintain it, to keep that the thing between the people, white against black. Any way that they can divide us, to divide the people. And in 1798, the Federalists morphed into the Democratic Party. And they maintained that slavery position for quite some time. They had to maintain the black against white. And then they did the segregation. And it goes on and on and on. And we see what's going on. But in any event, we have a two-party system. Both parties are corrupt. And they're not doing anything good for the people. Our founding fathers did not want a democracy. They were very clear in, what was it? I think it's number 10, Federalist Paper number 10, where our founding fathers spoke about democracy, that it was very problematic, didn't have a long life, and always self-murders itself. We are not a democracy. You don't find the word democracy in any of our founding papers. What you do find is the word republic. And our government is supposed to guarantee us a republican form of government. But let's see what our founding fathers have to say. Well, we must, and again, this is on page 6 of that book. I'm only going to read a couple pages, and then we're going to open up for conversation, questions, comments, or whatever. But I want to just read a couple of pages here. And again, this is 40 pages. People should read through this thoroughly. Okay? What we must understand is that the Committee of Safety over time morphed statutorily into the statutory committeeman, which became the tool of party bosses using a two-party system in an effort to destroy the natural law republic, our natural law republic. And over time, just as George Washington in his farewell address warned us, it came to pass, at least by the 20th century, that through the course of time, cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men, that's the party bosses and others, would subvert the power of the people and seize for themselves the reins, the controls, the reins of government. The Committee of Safety Committeeman. That's what they seized control through private associations using a two-party system that would create divisions and chaos. George Washington went on to tell us that once they seized the reins of power, also known as the committeeman, the parties that would arise would destroy the very engines, which is the political process, which have lifted them to unjust dominion. It would destroy the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities. It opened the door to foreign influence and corruptions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country will be subjected to the policy and the will of another. Are we not seeing this day, all this today? George Washington wrote this in his farewell address. It serves to organize division. It ruins public liberty. It stifles, controls, and represses. It foments occasional riots and insurrections. It kindles animosity of one part against another. Put in the place of delegated will of the nation, the will of a party elite. They aggregate the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms. Undermine the Constitution, which could not be directly overthrown. They've been working on this for over 200 years. Well, they're there. They got it. It's done. Distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. Drive the spirit of revenge. Leads to despotism. Washington concluded, parties are truly your worst enemies. We are not a democracy. We don't need parties. Republic, we've given them the marching orders. There's no need for parties, okay? We told them what their job is. It's very clear. It's in a little booklet called that's put out that's called the Constitution. It's that simple. We've already given them their marching orders. They don't need to discuss anything else. They need to just do their job, and they're not doing it. I would venture to say 90% of what they do is illegal, maybe even more than that. In a letter to Jonathan Jackson, 1780, John Adams said, "There is nothing which I dread so much as the division of the Republic into two great parties, each arraigned under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution." In a letter to Francis Hopkins in 1789, Thomas Jefferson said, "I never submitted the whole system of my opinion to the creed of any party of men, whatever in religion, in philosophy, in politics, or in anything else where I was capable of thinking for myself. Such an addiction is the last degradation of a free and moral agent. If I could not go to heaven but with a political party, I would decline to go." In 1787, let me see if I can make these words a little bigger. Yeah, there we go. In 1787, Thomas Paine said, "Party knows no impulse but spirit, no prize but victory. It is blind to truth and hardened against conviction. It seeks to justify error by perseverance and denies to its own mind the operation of its own judgment. A man under the tyranny of a party spirit is the greatest slave upon the earth, for none but himself can deprive him of the freedom of thought." The general hostile attitude towards political parties among the founding fathers were articulated most forcefully by James Madison in Federalist Paper No. 10. That's what I pointed out before. There he argued that one of the most important functions of a well-constructed union was to break the control of violence of factions. And whenever they talk about a faction, they're talking about parties. Madison clearly understood the enormous dangers that could attach to the founding of political parties in America. And it is because of attitudes like Madison widely shared, as they were among many of the delegates to the Philadelphia Convention, that political parties were excluded from the U.S. Constitution. Politics was supposed to be rational and collaborative, not competitive. Our founding fathers did not anticipate or desire the existence of political parties, viewing them as factions, dangerous to the public interest. Our founders' Republican ideology called for subordination of narrow interest to the general welfare of the community. Under Republican ideology, politics was supposed to be rational and collaborative, not competitive. Our founding fathers were generally uneasy about political parties. For the most part, they believed that parties had the potential to tear the new nation apart. To these men, political parties meant factionalism, which they believed could be fatal to the development of the United States as a unified country. It is no surprise, then, that political parties are entirely omitted from the U.S. Constitution. In response to the George Washington's concern on parties, the following clause, referred to as the George Washington Clause, was written into New York's Election Law, Section 21, which stated, "No organization or association of citizens for the election of a city, town, offices shall be deemed a political party," and yet they have. Regrettably, the aforesaid clause was removed between 1909 and 1911, and the committee man was codified, and today John Adams' dreaded political evil came to pass, and the two-party system reached maturity, fulfilling George Washington's warnings, and thereby ushered in the beginning of the end of our republic via party bosses and a Republican Party Association and a Democrat Party Association. The Committee of Safety Committee Men concept, in order to operate in a manner which is suggested by history, must operate as committees. It must never operate as a star chamber or an executive authority as under the current statutory Committee Men concept. It must never operate as a corporation, as the two-party system operates, for a corporate interest is not the same as the people's interest. The goal that is sought to be achieved is that the will of the people be carried out by those who have sought to assist in that administration, not by those who seek to control that will. The Albany, New York Committee was established in 1775, prior to the First Continental Congress. It was signed by all members of the committee at the time. It might provide us as an understanding of the necessity for establishing a committee of like-minded people for the purpose of furthering the discussion and of solutions of the problem. The original Albany version, a general committee agreed to and subscribed by the members of the several committees of the city and the county of Albany, persuaded that the salvation of the rights and liberties of America depends upon God and on the firm union of its inhabitants, and a vigorous prosecution of the measures necessary for its safety, and convinced of the necessity of preventing the anarchy and confusion. Which attend a dissolution of the powers of government. We, the freemen, freeholders, and inhabitants of the city and county of Albany, being greatly alarmed at the avowed design of the ministry to raise a revenue in America and shocked by the bloody scene now acting in Massachusetts Bay, do in a most solemn manner resolve never to become slaves, and do associate under all the ties of religion, honor, and love of our country, to adopt and endeavor to carry into execution whatever measures may be recommended by the Continental Congress or resolved upon by our providential convention for the purpose of preserving our Constitution and opposing the execution of the several arbitrary and oppressive acts of the British Parliament until a reconciliation between Great Britain and America on the constitutional principles, which we most ardently desire, can be obtained. Of course, that didn't happen. And that we will, in all things, follow the advice of our General Committee respecting the purpose aforesaid, the preservation of peace and good order and safety of individuals and private property. Now, did want to bring a point up here before I finish reading. Okay, it says here, do in the most solemn manner resolve never to become slaves. That's my question to everyone hearing this. Are you resolved that you don't want to be a slave? Do you care if you're going to be a slave? Do you know that you're a slave right now? When you die, you're worth a lot of money, and the elite collect on that. We heard a little bit about that in the video we just saw, because when you come in, you're docked in, and you become a chattel. You're livestock, and you have a value, and you're sold on the market, and you don't even know about it. And some of us know about it. But the bottom line is, are you happy being a slave? And if you don't want to be a slave, and you're not happy being a slave, it's time to make a step. You got to step up. You got to do something. You got to get active in your community. You got to start a committee of safety or join one that's already started in your county. Only the people can save America. Nobody else can. Only the people can do this. Donald Trump cannot do this. The White Hats working with Donald Trump cannot do this. Only you can do this. Education, one of the most important tools utilized by those who have sought to take our freedom and our country from us, is control of the public education. By these means, they were able to remove aspects of our history, which would have enabled us to both perceive and deal with the problem of today's long before now. Jefferson, Madison, Franklin, Adams, Washington, and the rest of those who gave us the nation we seek to restore today was well established in their respective communities and recognized by their efforts to be men of sincerity. Their efforts extended in most cases over many years of guidance to their neighbors. The respect that was earned by these efforts and their willingness to represent the will of the people propelled them into delegations, which formulated the course that the colonies pursued. We have an opportunity to return to a constitutional government by consent as committees of safety committee men go into their communities to encourage the people to take control of our children's education and replace the destructive progressive education that the federal government forces upon our children today. We need to encourage the people themselves to take courses that will prepare them to take control of their own destiny and our out-of-control governments. If you come to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our free courses, you're going to find all the courses you need, all the information you need, all the knowledge you need, all of the research that came together in order to put this information together. You have it all at your fingertips. You can save the nation. In order to understand the difference between the Committee of Safety Committee men that should arise out of the Republic without a political parties and what we have from the private political associations known as the Democrats and the Republicans, it is extremely important to review the history and purpose of the Committee of Safety Committee men. The party bosses have covertly taken control of the committee men via the statutory committee men process. Everyone knows that our party system is dysfunctional, clearly proven by the deceitful candidates we are left with to choose from as our representatives. Some people think we don't have a choice and we must live with the system as it is, but that simply is not true. The underlying problem is a certain systematic identifiable corruption which our founders warned us about and the need of ridding ourselves of private political parties, also known as the Democrat and Republican parties. The solution is to simply reinstate the People's Committee of Safety Committeemen, envisioned by our founding fathers as the consenters of government. After all, this is how our founding fathers took control of the government from the British Empire. The arguments between the parties are all about controlling the behavior of the people. When will we tire from such despicable acts? When will we see that we lay wait for our own blood, for our own souls? If we just stop trying to control each other, we would discover the liberty of our founding fathers. If the County Committee of Safety Committeemen in your county is not organized, structured, and empowered as described herein, you will be subjugated by private political associations that are controlled by party forces. For the past 70 years or so, the political process has been hijacked by an elite few. Actually, it's about 100 years. By an elite few who have succeeded in creating dysfunctional government, hell-bent on the annihilation of our republic. They work through divisions, through indulgence, through anger and hatred, in short, through political parties. To exercise the political process is to control our servant government, whereas the exercising of party politics is intended for the controlling of the people and is repugnant to the liberty. The enemy of liberty, by its politics, has all but destroyed our political process and expunged the Committee of Safety Committeemen. Today, by God's mercy, we have the opportunity and the duty to ourselves and our posterity to restore the process and resurrect the County Committee of Safety Committeemen for liberty. Our duty as committeemen of safety or committee to fill political vacancies with statesmen that know the law of the land and are minded in observing it. They need to come here to get an education. You shouldn't support anybody for any elected position without making sure that they become properly educated. Monitor and report the hand counting of the vote. This is the power and the authority of the committeemen. Monitor, report the hand counting of the vote in public for both the primary and the general elections. Monitor the elected individuals to ensure they don't overstep their authority. Recall elected servants that violate their oaths. Solve the people's bureaucratic problems. Visit schools to initiate programs educating our children and college students in political science, judicial process, and ethics, along with the sciences and mathematics. Educate and encourage a sense of duty among the people in our communities. Solve problems in our communities. Put all public servants on notice. Obey the Constitution or we will petition to remove you from office or ask the grand jury to indict you for treason. End political parties, associations. Bipartisanship. Two major parties control the political process. If we are going to reinstate the republic, it is absolutely critical that parties work together. The state committee should meet bipartisan to discuss solutions to our political problems. This will solidify the people's aspiration for better government and reinforce the fear of recall in the minds of our servant government. Then we need to work together to rid ourselves of parties altogether, as our founding fathers expected. The National Liberty Alliance plan, if followed carefully and exercised by the people exercising their unalienable rights of government by consent, will just in the process of itself destroy political parties. They will fall apart and become nothing. We don't even have to really do, although we're going to file papers to shut them down anyway. Nevertheless, the people will, just by becoming the true committeemen and taking power and authority. And all these committeemen that are suckers for the committeemen process, we're talking about the political committeemen, the one that was created statutorily, those individuals, when they start to realize the true committeemen over here, they will jump ship and come over here because they are restrained, they are restricted, they are angry. They have a high attrition rate. They lose people constantly looking for people. Because, see, as people go in, eventually either one of two things happen. Well, actually, one of three. Some people are just that dumb they continue on anyway. But really, it's two other positions. The ones that realize that they can make money out of this and get power and authority, they stick in the system and they get all these great contracts and everything. All of these people that run these programs, a lot of them are lawyers. and they get the contracts on the highway, for instance, for the towing. Okay, these are the people that are awarded a lot of the state and county jobs, because the whole set, it's all fixed. This is how they empower themselves and they keep control of everything. They're all taking a dollar. And the second group of people in the committee, man, are people that are coming in with good intentions, want to do something and want to participate. And over time, they start to realize they're a bunch of suckers, that they're slaves, that they're being controlled and they're being used only to further the richness of the people who put this whole process together all the way up into the New World Order. And then they leave. It's constant. But they'll be leaving to come over to the committees of safety. And when one leaves and lets the others know, they're all going to jump ship. That's how we'll destroy political parties. And then we'll execute and resurrect the George Washington Clause, which belongs in the law. These associations cannot become political parties. It's unlawful. It's destructive to the nation. Committee of Safety, Committee Man, Critical Mindset. Don't ask what are the limits of our power. Liberty knows no limit. You need to free yourself. You know, we know no limit. As long as it's just and right, we can make it happen. Liberty knows no limit. We simply do what is honest and just. The people need no permission to act. Yes, we can even make it up as we go, and as we see fit, as long as it is just. That's the prerogative of a king, and that's what we are. We're kings. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for the United States. We are the potter, and they are the clay. Legislators are authorized under the Constitution, invested by the people, with limited powers to write statutes and codes that are enforced as law to control the behavior of bureaucrats, municipalities, governments, agencies, elected officials, and interstate commerce, but not the people. The people's rights are unalienable and cannot be legislated. Once Republicans and Democrats realize our Constitution does not authorize Congress to legislate behavior, party politics will finally outgrow its pathetic effectiveness. And if we follow Thomas Jefferson's advice of peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none, then America's greatest days lie ahead. Only the people, through the Committees of Safety, Committeemen, can achieve such a goal. Our Constitution is in danger. We must protect our Constitution from all attacks, foreign and domestic, for those who are to follow. The service and experience of each person in the community is needed now. The United States of America is now 230 years, at least when I wrote this, beyond its founding documents. Times and technology have changed, and responsibility of the government by the people has not. If ever a time, Samuel Adams said, if ever a time should become when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seat in government, our country will be in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruins. You need to become that experienced patriot. You need to get educated. You need to start a committee of safety or join a committee of safety. You need to save the republic, because only the people can do it. And if we lose it, it's because you decided not to do anything. And then you can answer to your children when they are slaves. Okay, I just want to go through, I'll try to do this as quick as possible. We're going to breeze through a couple of pages looking at the structure of the committee man. And the process, the committee man. And again, this is how things are set up in controlling the political process. And you have to work with other people. You have to work with people in other counties. They need to be doing the same thing. You know, you can control all of the government, all of the governments within the county, but you can't control the state government without having at least the majority of the counties having this process set up. So we have to encourage and assist other counties to do the same. And we have to work together with them, especially during the political process. Because a lot of these positions on the state level, when you elect your elected official on a state level, maybe it's a state senator or some state legislator, an assemblyman, whatever they call them in your state, Well, when you go to elect these people, these positions that they run their in their election districts at are gerrymandered and run from one county into another county. Okay, so you have to join together with the people in the other county that are electing the same individual in your county. This thing happens also on many, many levels, okay? You know, if you want to control the state, for instance, the governor, you've got to work together with the other counties to make sure you get a good person in there for governor. You know, you have to get enough people involved so it'll be easy to recall these people. You can take a governor out of office in 90 days. Done. Out of office and elect a new one, 90 days. Done, a deal done, period. Okay, you have the power and the authority to do this. You have the power and authority to do this with every elected official, and I would say probably with the exception of the president, but maybe not necessarily. I think we could possibly make a case that we can even throw the president out of office. The people are the kings. We're the power. We're the authority. We make the law. We make the decisions. But right now, we let psychopaths do it. We let sociopaths do it. And we seem to just let it go on and on and on. When are we going to stop this? When are we going to take back this nation? Okay, let me get to this other page that I wanted to look at, and then we'll open up. Again, we have the queue open. Anybody wants to get in, star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone. If you're on an app, there should be a button to get into the queue. Just click on the queue, and you can get in. Let me see. I'm looking for a note on where this other page is at. There it is. I got it. Okay. 19. What page am I on? I'm 17 already, so I should be pretty close. 19. 18. Okay. This is the structure organized. Now, again, this handbook needs to be read through thoroughly. You need to work together with the people in your committees of safety. You need to discuss it and work out and plan out this whole structure. But the this is the breakdown of a political committee. You know, you got the General Committee of Safety, County Committee of Safety. And in that General County Committee of Safety, you have different subcommittees. One of those subcommittees is the political committee. You know, you have the educational committee. You have the committee of correspondence. You have the political committee. And many other committees, whatever committees, but there are about four or five that everyone should start off preparing. As you get membership, you open up these new committees, okay, because you need people to fill them and do the necessary work. Many hands make light work, so the more people you have involved, the less work that one individual has to do. Generally speaking, in order to save this nation, I'm going to tell you what it's going to cost you. Probably going to cost you $5 or $10 a month to throw into the kitty, or maybe have a dues or whatever. That's what it's going to cost you. Occasionally buy a book or two, like, you know, government by consent to get to your sheriff. Okay, you have 20 people in there, so everybody throws in $2, you got more than enough to get it to the sheriff. Okay, the other thing is to come to a meeting once a month. No big deal. 2 hours of your life, or 3 hours if you include traveling, let's say about 3 hours a month. And then during the month, you'll have maybe an hour or two's worth of work. So your investment to save this nation is 4 or 5 hours a month, and maybe $20 or $15 or $10 or whatever it is the Committee of Safety decides that they need as they go along, because we have to get a kitty going, and you know, you have to pay for different things. You know, secretary has to have, you know, maybe paper and a copy machine or whatever the case may be. You know, but there's not much really involved, but there are things that you're going to have to do. So that's what it costs. Is that too much for everyone to save the nation? Do people think that that's too much to give? Political committee. Okay, so we start off with the political committee. And this is and remember, you know, once the committee, the political committee does its work, it reports to the general committee. Okay, and it's really involved in the political seasons when the elections are going, when they're doing a lot of work preparing things, you know, making arrangements for different people that you want to support to get onto the ballot, because that's what the committee man does. They put the people on the ballot. Right now, you got the statutory committee man putting the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left, and now you got a choice, which criminal you want. Well, we need to get statesmen. Only the people can do that, because they're not going to do it. That's self-destructive. They'll never do it. You know, I just saw a thing today with the president. It was actually 2-3 days old. I just saw it. And he was up there talking about the different things that need to be done and with the border to be closed and making sure that people that are voting are citizens and so on. So this is self-destructive to our government. They don't want to do this. Takes away their power. Why do they want to give their power away? These are sociopaths, psychopaths. They're evil, they're traitors, and again, they belong at the end of the short rope or in jail. You know, there's degrees of this process. Some people are just stupid and follow along. Nevertheless, they broke the law. They need to pay. Okay, anyway, you have to break up into these political committees, has to break up committees into different areas. There's the State District Committee. And the State District Committee, they work with other committees, okay, in the county, in the other counties. To give you an example, here in New York, we have 62 counties, okay? So with 62 counties, we have 62 chairmen for each county of the Committee of Safety. Well, those chairmen or the co-chair or any other representative of that county that they want should send someone in our case, it's up in Albany, to the capital of the state, and they would go up there, all 62 in the case of New York. There's different numbers for each state. I think Ohio has 100 counties, so you'd have 100 committee men who would be the county chairs or the co-chairs or, again, any representative. And they'd come together once a year, actually once every 4 years or whenever state elections are taking place. It could be every 2 years. As a matter of fact, they think it is. But in any event, they come together, let's say the governor, you want to choose the governor. Well, you come together that year that the governor's up for election, and they try to decide who they're going to put onto the ballot, okay? And you need to be working together with other people who are trying to get statesmen on there, and you come to agreement, you bring that back to your committee of safety, to the political committee, report all the information to the general committee. And then they plan for the necessary, to have these people that are running for office to come in and talk to the people and see if they want to represent them and walk the papers. We make decisions. Well, with that said, this is pretty much in every district, okay? You have the congressional district. Your congressional district will often run into a couple of counties. Okay, so you got to work with those couple of counties for that district committee. You have the Assembly District Committee. The U.S. Congressional District, I'm sorry, that's congressional. You have the Assembly District Committee, that would be the state, okay? And that would be, of course, the state legislators. So you would have to work with those people in that area. That should be the county only, but they do gerrymander it here in New York, so you have to work with other counties. You have the State Senate District Committee. Again, you have to work with other counties. Now, there are two senators for every state, so you really want to get together and talk about what two individuals you want to work with, all, in my case, New York, 62 county chairmen, to discuss this, figure out who should be supported, bring it to the general committee, that the agreement that you have, and get that person onto the ballot. You have the Town District Committee. You have the Village District Committee. Okay, so this requires cooperation by other county committees of safety and share the same political subdivisions. Maybe I'll read a little bit of this. I don't want to get too long. It's getting late, so I'm not going to read through this. But this information here breaks down the parties, the information on the different committees, and how things work and what needs to be done. Again, all this information is there. It's just a matter of going there, reading it, okay, and executing it, working together. And if there is one other thing you have to do. I'm sorry. And I would say this should be at least, at bare minimum, 2 hours a week, okay? And that's called education. And that's really bare minimum. You should do more than that. And most of your education could be done by MP3s or MP4s, watching videos or listening to audios. Because all this stuff is on video and audio. All this stuff we're putting together is on video and audio. So again, you have to get educated, and you have to put your time in. And if you're not willing to do that, you don't deserve liberty. It's that simple. And you're not going to have it either. So if we fail, it's because we failed, not because the enemy defeated us, because we have the opportunity today to take it back. We can defeat the enemy. We do have the white hats moving with Trump. It's called devolution. It's in play. It's coming to a head. It's going to be settled after we have at least the beginnings of a world war, maybe a nuclear blast. It's coming, or at least the attempt of a nuclear blast. Riots in the streets, all these illegal people that came in. What do you think they're here for? Well, they've been doing this in every nation. I've been watching the news, people rising in the streets, doing things and creating chaos, burning cars. We saw that in the Summer of Love a couple of years ago, the Summer of Love. Nothing to see here, anybody. You think that was rough? You think that was bad? We ain't seen nothing yet. This is every single city in America is infiltrated by the enemy, ready to come out after the people. And they're going to try to pose this off and push this as civil war. It's between the people, you know. No, it's not between the people. They brought these people in for that purpose. We're in trouble, people. And now is the time to educate and prepare to take this nation back. And you should be preparing with a lot of other things. You should be EMP protected. If you're not EMP protected, well, okay. Then you lose everything electronic you have. You lose your car, your generator, everything in your house. It's all gone. You don't have it no more if you get hit with an EMP. You need to have food and water at least 30 days. At least 30 days. You need to get educated. You need to organize. And look it, this National Liberty Alliance has made it so simple. Everything is right here. Start a committee of safety. Follow the breadcrumb trails. But basically, all the information you need to download, the MP3s, the MP3s, the MP4s, the PowerPoints, the handbooks, all this stuff is free. It's all done, put up there. Just take it and exercise your right. Your unalienable right of government by consent, and let's take this nation back and raise it back up to the republic that it was meant to be. But most of your stuff can be found as far as the downloads right under here, handbooks, videos, and tools, right on this page. Okay? Again, I'm going to go through. We have the County Committee of Safety organization structure. We have the charter, the committeeman handbook, the organizing handbook, the resolutions, the vow, the common law handbook, elected officials handbook, committee of safety resolutions, founding documents, grand jury handbook, independent nominating petitions, military code rules and resolution, petit jury handbook, questionnaires, recall petition, sheriff's common law handbook, village independent designating petition. We have these, some of the things that are necessary in order to create your committee of safety. We have it in Word, the charter, the resolution, and a two-sided flyer. I'm not going to go through all this stuff. There's so much here, so much information, so much to get education. We tell you how to get your committee of safety seminar going. We give you the instructions. We give you the videos. We give you the PowerPoint videos. We lay everything out for you. You follow through the whole process. And if you want to know, how to see how it's done, go to the front page. Let me open that up in another link, another tab here. You go to our front page. And you click on Seminar, NLA Plan to Save Our Republic. This was recorded in 2021, okay? And if you click on this video right here, you'll see a seminar run right from the beginning all the way to the end. You can copy that exactly the way it is. We have all the information on this page here today. Let me get to handbooks and documents. We have it all here. It tells you how long each one of these things are. You know, you have the The Star Spangled Banner, like you've never heard it before, it's 12 minutes long. A Founding Fathers Committee of Safety, 31 minutes. The Committee of Safety presentation, 35 minutes. We also have all of this, or a lot of this stuff, we have it in PowerPoint. You could do it live if someone wants to articulate it on themselves. You can change things around a little bit. We have other things to replace in different. We got so much information here, everything you need. But you have to buckle down. You have to educate yourself. You have to read, spend some time. Is the Republic worth sacrificing any of your time? Does anybody think that our Republic, that our Founding Fathers put together, one nation under God, is worth saving? Do you think we should do that? Because if you don't do it, you think we shouldn't do that then. That's the answer. You either do or you don't. You do, you agree. You don't, you don't care. And you don't care about your posterity, your children. You don't care about their children's children's children. It's up to you to do it. Anyway, we have a lot of stuff. Where do you, venue ideas, library, town. Town hall is the best place to go. Did you know you can go down to the town hall and say, hey, we're going to have a meeting here. We're the people going to be doing some things. You don't have to explain much. We want it on X night, a certain night, certain time, blah, blah, blah. That's it. Done deal. If you're going to do this on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a Monday too, hopefully not a Monday, but it's only one Monday a month. If you do it on a Monday, that's fine. Our programs here are all recorded, so you can download and listen to that any time throughout the week. But whatever day you choose, you say, okay, we want to do it on Monday. We'd like to open up the doors at 7. We're going to be doing this until about 9. They'll come in. They'll unlock the doors. You'll already know. They'll explain to you how to use the necessary equipment that's in there. You could do PowerPoints. All you do is bring your own computer. They may even have a computer. You just have to bring a thumb drive with the programming on it. But usually you have to bring your own computer. You plug it in. They got everything set up in there. And they got a room, they got the seats, they got everything you need. It doesn't cost anything. We own it. It's ours. All you have to do is book it. And when you book it, they will be there at 7 o'clock to open the door, and they'll be there at 9 o'clock to close the door. It's up to you to do the work. So I think that's the best place. You can use the library also, but the town hall, I think, is the best. Rod and Gun Club, they could do it, a church, private club, back room of a bar, restaurant, or a diner. And again, I think the best is town hall. Makes it more authoritative, too. Okay, we go through to teach the monthly meeting protocols. We got download videos in county meetings, or things to discuss, different things that people should know, maybe play a short video at every meeting. I don't know, whatever it is you want to do. But again, you have to encourage the people to get educated. You got to encourage the people to come to the National Liberty Alliance and get their education. In the coming weeks, we're going to spend an evening talking about education and everything we have. Okay. Also, other things can the county can do. You know, they can come together and they can have a plant, you know, their own food and stuff, a community garden. You know, they have this thing you can do with water. Not sure how to pronounce that. Aquapinia, and a wallapinia. Anyway. This operates with fish and water pumping through these pipes. These plants are all in water, and the fish waste feeds the plants, and it's cleansed through the plants, and it goes back into the fish tank, and so on and so forth. So you're really creating fish and also all kinds of planting. But in any event, you could do this on a small level. You can do it on a large level. So anyway, there's lots of videos here to watch on different things that will help you. Videos, PowerPoint videos, and so on. So anyway, it's up to you. You want to save the Republic, we can do it. Let me go back to the page here and shut some of this stuff down. Okay, we're going to open up for Q&A. If anybody has a question or a comment, star 6 and a 1. Again, if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button to be able to get into the queue. So let me get into the queue. We'll take our first caller. It looks like Elisa, is that your name? You got the mic. Go right ahead. And by the way, we're going to only do one question per person. If someone has a second question, get back in line. Because we are running close, but we'll run over if we have to get through at least the first group of people. Elisha, you got the mic. E-L-I-S-S-A, I think I'm pronouncing it right. Elisha? You got the mic. Your mic is open. Okay, we're not hearing anything. One more time, calling for Elisa. Okay, next person, wireless caller, 512 area code. You got the mic. Go right ahead. Give us your first name and your state. Not hearing anything. Go ahead. Is anybody hearing anything? Because I'm not.
No.
No response.
All right, last call for a wireless caller at a 512 area code. Last four digits of 5734. 5734, you got the mics. First name and state. Going once? Going twice?
Hello?
You got it. Go ahead. We hear you. What's your first name and your state?
My name is Kathy, and my state is Texas.
Okay, Kathy from Texas. What's your question, comment?
Yes. Well, yes, I've looked at your website some. I think this is a wonderful organization. I was amazed to run across it. I read the two books of it already, The Common Law and Straw Man. And I've seen some of your courses, and somebody's put a heck of a lot of work, and I hear the frustration in your voice, and I know it's hard to get I'd like to get involved in this, but, you know, in order to do that, I'm going to have to get more education, like you say, look at some of your materials, read on it, and I guess you're saying to set up a safety committee?
Right. You're in Texas. What county are you in?
Travis.
Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S, Travis?
Yes, Travis County.
Okay, so right here, if you go under directory and you come down to your state, you click on your state, you'll see what committees of safety are started now. We don't have anybody in Travis County, T-R-A-V-I-S, I think it is, right? We don't have anyone.
Right.
But what you can do is the page before this, we need to try to remember to put the information to click on this page to open up, because you have to step back a page in order to get the information to sign up. So here are the instructions to organize your county. You go to this page here, and you'll be able to sign in there. And what'll show up, as long as you're a member and you go in and you click on your county and your state, and you choose to be, all you do is actually check a box to become the contact for your county committee of safety to organize one. And once you check that box and you save it, you'll see that your first name and your county and your phone number will show up on that page. And, for instance, that's on this page here. I click on Texas. Okay.
Okay, what page am I on? Right now I'm on the page that says Welcome Sheriff Education Starts Here. And so where do I go to see these
things? Okay, so I'll go to the Welcome page. Are you seeing the desktop?
Yeah, I'm on the desktop.
Okay, come to directory, click on directory on the blue bar.
Okay, on the blue bar. Okay,
right.
Directory. Hold on, yeah. Okay, I see it. I got it.
Okay, you'll have 10 districts. We broke the country into 10 districts. Okay, and you come down here, and if you don't find your county, you have to come back to this page, but I'll set something up on the other page. But you can click on this button here. To organize your own committee, if there's no one that started a committee of safety, and you can put your name in there. But anyway, you'd click on your state, in your case, Texas, and this will tell you.
I haven't seen that. I don't see that part. I clicked on directory, and then I see tech support, site contact, district coordinators, and directory again.
To register or edit your committee of safety, you click on this link. Let me click on that. If you click on that, you read the information, it'll tell you. You go to my account, and you just follow the instructions. It's five steps. And basically, you'll get to a point where it says step four, check this box for COS County Leader. Once you check that box and save the page, then your name will show up. Let me go back here. Well, actually, we have it down here, too. But let me step back.
I registered on this, and then it said that I see the districts out here, and it says to go to your district, and I see 7 is for Texas. But I'm, as far as that goes, and it says submission for this form are closed, so you can't do that. So I did sign up the other day.
No, we used to have state forums, but that got out of control. Psychopaths or sociopaths took over, and they took things in different directions. So we don't offer any place for people to come together statewide. Now, what that has to happen through the committees of safety, you guys got to work that out on your own state level. But go back a page to where you're going to click on register to edit. But if you come down to your state, for instance, yours is Texas, you click on Texas, it'll tell you we have total state members. We have 857 members in Texas. There's 254 counties in Texas. You got a lot of counties. And we've constituted all of those counties. And we have 11 committees of safety in process in Texas. So if anybody coming to this page, if there's already someone started it, you give them a call and connect with them and work things out. If there's no one there, then you go back, then you click on the page. And again, I'm going to put it right here. Okay, let's go back here. It says here,
okay, register
your committee of safety. You see that?
And that's I found the county. I went over under start a committee of safety, and I got national monthly meetings, handbook, find your district leader, interview candidates, become a jury, Christianity of America, meet with the founders, issues to consider, and bonds. And I can't, and I probably got to go over here to move it down further. And okay, and then it's starting to, I guess that the one under the district location, Texas. Okay, I see down here, I've got to go into the different states now. I found Texas, so I can do that, but access denied.
Okay, look, but you have to be signed in, so make sure that you haven't been logged out, okay, up the top
yeah.
right of the bar. But here, I just put the link on this page. I'll make this bigger later. If you can't find your committee of safety down here, then you come and click on this register or edit your committee of safety. When you click on that, okay, you have to follow these steps. To take the responsibility, follow these steps. There are 5 steps. You have to go to My Account, which is up on the top right. Okay, you click on that, and then that's where you can change your information that you signed in on. That's your account, okay? You click on Edit, you see an Edit button, okay? Then you click on Contact Info to confirm your phone number is correct. You got to make sure you got the right phone number in there. That's correct, so just check that out. And then check the box. There's a little box that says COS County Leader. You'll just put a little tick in it, okay? And then save the page. And then at that point, you will show up here, your county, your first name, and your phone number. And you can edit that and change that at any time by going back to your account, My Account, and untick the box. So if you start it and you really don't want to hold on to it, but you just want to get it started, when other people come in and you're starting to communicate with them and discuss some plans, see if someone else is more interested in taking on this position. And if they are interested, then say, okay, and show them how to go in and change and put their name in there. And then you go in and untick your box. Or you can leave yours in to work together with that as 2 people to call, or whatever you want to do. But the thing is someone needs to be a contact person. Now, whoever goes in here, if you go in here and you become an individual, you know, a person that's going to put together the Committee of Safety in your county, if you get a hold of Jan at National Liberty Alliance, J-A-N, at nationalliberty.org, and you ask him for a list of all the people in your state, and he'll give it to you by county. So every county, they'll see there's so many members in this county, so many members in that county. So you'll get their first name, you'll get their, obviously you already have the state, You'll get their county. You'll get their phone number. And then you can call them and talk with them about getting together to work a committee of safety. You're planning on this. We're going to have a little bit of a meeting to discuss this. When you get between 6 to 12 people, that's when you want to plan to have your seminar. And at the seminar, you want to invite as many people as possible, okay? And your seminar, seminar should be done on a Saturday. We give all this instructions on that on our page, Start a Committee of Safety page. You want to invite as many people as possible to that, okay? And you want to do it on a Saturday. The reason why you want to do it on a Saturday is most people aren't working. You're going to want to do it during the day. And it's going to be three to four hours, okay? Sometimes more. People will stay around. People will make it longer. You'll have there'll be some people that will stay later and continue talking. But it's usually between 3 and 4 hours for the whole seminar. And once you pitch it, if you got the people to come there and you pitch it, your probability of signing up at least 80% is probably the case. So if you were to get 40 people there, what is 80% to 40? Let's make it easier. Let's say you get 50 people there. So if it would be 40 people, then I think is 80%. So, you know, you should be able to get at least 20, 30 people to sign up if you do a seminar and get a good crowd going. And then with that, you build it up. We also did, last week we did a thing on how to take back our local governments, and particularly focusing in on schools by taking control of the school boards and all that. And in that process, when you go to take the school boards back, your first committee of safety will be the subcommittee will be the Committee of Correspondence. Whoever puts their name on here would be the connection to that county committee of safety by other committees of safety, and even from NLA having communications and conversation. But in any event, okay, once you get that going and you have that one person there, that is the first committee under this, which is the Committee of Correspondence. But the very first committee after that you want to create is the Educational Committee for two reasons. Okay, we need to take back our schools. Our children are being demoralized. They're being destroyed. We have to take them back. So, again, we did one thing I was last week on schools and also local governments, but mostly we were focusing in on schools. When you bring the parents in to go to a board meeting to take control of that board with your sheriff, okay, and that's power, with a quo warranto in your back pocket to be served upon these people if they're not going to be obedient and listen to the people, and you're going to pull them out of office with that quo warranto, and you'll have the sheriff there to serve that quo warranto if that's necessary. But the bottom line is, in that process, you're going to be inviting people. These people are going to want to get involved. I'll bet you 60 to 80% of these people that come to this are going to say, I'll get to join this committee of safety. You're going to grow in leaps and bounds. You know, within a year, you could have many, many hundreds, even 1,000 members. And many hands make light work. The more members, the better it is. You know, if you go to the statutory committeemen, they only permit a certain amount of people to join. For instance, in my county, in a Republican committeeman county, there's 249 election districts. So there's 249 committeemen. No more. They will not take no more. Okay, if two people run up, they have to run against each other, you know, in a vote, which really the party bosses make the decision. But in any event, they only allow that number in that county. We're not limited by, you can have 10,000 people. The more the merrier. The more people involved, the more work you can get done, the more control you have, the more fear, you know, when the government fears the people, that's when you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny, okay?
It's difficult. People, like I tell my family, I'm very interested, at least my sister, in doing this. You better watch out because they're watching every group right now real close. I said, well, I guess go ahead. You know, I'm not, I want to be, it is, you got to be fearless. And, you know, that's what they keep control of us with, is that fear. And, of course, it's nerving because I've watched them, how they attack people in every way from their stuff. So it is difficult for people to, they're afraid. A lot of people are just afraid.
But look, I understand that, and those people will come along eventually, but look, the bottom line is this, is there's so many of us, they can only go after so many people. They're going to go after the people on the top, the higher people. And even with that, there's so many people doing so many things, and they're on the run, they're a rat caught in a corner, they're being exposed everywhere, they're having failures everywhere. You may not see that on the fake news. The fake news will make them everything.
I don't watch news.
Right,
I turned these off months ago. I only watch alt news, and that's it. And I don't watch a lot of that because you can't even.
Alternative news is where you want to go, okay? We do have a page on some alternative news that we suggest. That 22 report gives tremendous amount of great information. Christian Patriot News, they give some good information too. But he only comes out once or twice a month. X22 comes out 6 days a week. They give really in-depth stuff. Also, Q News Patriot, you click on that. So these are three places where every day I listen to whatever is new. Any of these three, I listen. Sometimes I listen to other things when I have time, but I only have time to listen to so much because I'm just so busy. But anyway.
I didn't catch your name because the reason I wasn't signed in, so that was a lot of my problems. So I'll get in and I'm like you, I'm just busy as can be. I'm an older person, so I'm kind of trying to handle a lot here right now. But I still find time to do the things that I am interested in as much, you know, you have to use your time. We all have so much time in our time bank, so you just have to choose how you're going to spend that. So.
Right.
I'm choosing, and I want to be involved because you're right. We're not going to have a country, and I tell people that if anybody's interested, the only people who are going to save our country are the people. Nobody's coming to save us. Nobody.
Right.
We are the only ones that can do this, and it's going to take the collective to do it. And hope you've done, I don't know, what was your name? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name at start.
My name's John Duress.
John? Okay, John Duress. I'll try. You know, I want to know who you are because you're a magnificent person doing all the stuff that you're doing. And the group that's here, I don't know who's all here, of course. But anybody that's here, glad to have them aboard. And hopefully we can all work together and start doing some things. I've witnessed a few things on that alt news where I've watched people go in and shut down these people. And throw them out, and this can be done. It's just going to be a backbone to do it. That's all in education. You got to have that education, so when you go to do something like this, you can pay what you're talking about.
Bear in mind, you don't have to wait to get an education to start a committee of safety. There's a handbook there. You start off with the handbook, and you connect with one other person. And you just start talking about things and making plans, and then you get 3, 4, 5, 6 people. When you get about 6 people, that's the time to have your first seminar. You know, maybe you might want to wait for a few more. I don't know, but that's up to the people.
Where's the handbook at now, John? Where do I find that one under?
If you go to click Start a Committee of Safety, you can follow breadcrumb trails here.
But okay, there you go.
Start a Committee of Safety, you come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. It's 4 down under Start a Committee of Safety. You click on that, and that's where all of the instructional stuff, free handbooks, MP3s, all the MP4s, all the PowerPoint, I mean, just lots of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see it now.
Many hands make light work. Some people are going to specialize in this. Another person's going to specialize in that. These people, this one small group of people will want to get involved with the educational committee. Other people, that's where they're going to get their specialties. But as far as creating the committee of safety, as you're getting educated, you need to be creating the committee of safety. And that you could do just by downloading that one handbook, which is organizing your committee of safety, and follow the instructions step by step as you go through the booklet. You know, you get it all together. And again, look, your seminar is all set up right here on this page, this area, right here. This is everything you need. Download it all. You can put it on a thumb drive, plug it into a computer, and one video after another, you have your conversations in between. Some of it may be done in PowerPoints. People want do it themselves.
That's handy. I can see that right now. That would be great. You know, just so basically, all you got to do is, you're still going to have some background on what you're talking about. You got to go there,
but that comes with
time. Run through this yourself. Just run through this yourself and watch it yourself. And like you say, find another person that has the interest and wants to, and then maybe they'll find someone else. But I know a lot of my neighbors that I live by, which is a pretty large subdivision, and they don't even believe in chemtrails, or they don't believe in anything that's going on. It's like they're living their life like life is the same.
Well, look, we're also putting together, administrators for grand juries, because right now the lawyers and the judges control the grand juries. We need to take it back the way it used to be, where the people control the grand juries. And we need to get administrators, which would be paid positions, that would be paid by the government, because they have to pay someone to do this, and that is to pull together juries and to orientate the juries. Now, we're training people on how to do that. We require anybody that wants to take that position, which is a paid position, you can go in and check the box. You go up to your, up to your page, my account, and you can check the box to be a committee, working as an administrator for the grand jury. But you have to take all of our courses. And those people will know the law. There'll be one paralegal among them. There's five people altogether, four administrators and one paralegal, which is another administrator. So that's five, actually. And they'll learn the law. The paralegal already has a two-year, education, or whatever it is, 1 year or 2 year. And then we have our own course, which is, under our education here. Again, they have to take all the courses if you're going to take that job on, and that'll prepare you for that. But under our courses, we also have a court access and the common law course. That's a law course. They're required to take that. Now, they will be part of the Committee of Safety also, and they'll probably be in the Judicial Committee. Now, and when you have a problem and you need to deal with the law, those people will be great advisors. And, of course, we'll be here to advise them or anybody in anything they need with the law concerning particularly the Committee of Safety. So we'll be here to help. But eventually you'll become knowledgeable, be able to step up on your own feet, so to speak, and take care of your own business, and you just have to build knowledge. Knowledge comes with time. But meanwhile, you should be creating the Committee of Safety. You know, it's going to take 3 months, the bare minimum, once you have your first seminar. It's going to take 3 months to get to the point where you're pulling your sheriff on board. So by the time you come into your fourth month, that's when you're going to start to become powerful, and you may be at the point where you're now going to start taking back your schools in your county. My county, I forget what it was, 15 or 16 school districts, whatever it is. You probably have excellent, you have so many school districts in your county. Every time you take a school district back, you're going to build your membership up. Okay? But the bottom line on this here is that these committees of safety, you'll be pulling the people coming together, and again, you'll have people with certain knowledge, because they'll want to deal with education. Others want to deal with the political process, others with the judicial process. And all of them will have special education, and then you'll have certain people who want to know it all, and they may have the ability, they may be good at articulating themselves, and they can be a great advisor to the committee. Assist into the knowledge on how things work, but you pick it up together. You work together, and who cares if you make a mistake or fail? You fix it after that. That's the way of life, School of hard knocks is the best education you can get.
I've had that school my whole life.
I got to move on to the next call because it's getting late.
It's nice, and thank you for all your information. And I'll be looking into it further, John. I really appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
I'll go now. Bye-bye.
One question per person. I know I spent a lot of time here with Kathy from Texas, but it was a very important piece of information that we wanted to give concerning what she's given. But let's move along, and we'll take it from there. Andrew, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Is it Andrew?
Hi. Yes, this is Angie. I am from Southern Illinois, Williamson County.
Okay, go ahead. Angie from Illinois.
Thank you. I have contacted the Committee of Safety organizer within our district. I have not received information back. However, I have sent a few emails regarding our situation. And as noted to Jan, I had prematurely reached out seeking a attorney or a common law attorney. And of course, I couldn't help but laugh at my own self when she said that those words were contradictive of each other. So I have developed enough.
Not really. I mean, attorney does kind of focus more into the bar. Lawyer may be a better usage, but nevertheless, a common law lawyer, you might be able to use the word. I'm looking to see if attorney is a proper word to be able to use on both sides.
Yeah, I found it humorous, seeing how your initiative, of course, is always to educate ourselves. So it's completely understandable, too. But we have also had a very hard time getting any attorney to take directive from us, whereas
they won't. They have an allegiance to the bar and to the court before they have an allegiance to you. People don't know that. You know, there are court cases that right from the beginning, everybody knows who's going to win. Your lawyer is not going to tell you you're not going to be the winner because he wants the money, he wants the paycheck, he'll fight the case, but he's going to lose. And a lot of times they know it. When you're going up against the status quo, already set before the time they go in. They don't want you to go into their court without a lawyer because, you know, the lawyers play ball. You're not going to play ball. I don't play ball with them. And so they don't like that. They'll try to throw you out. You know, you can make certain arguments and stay in. I've never really been thrown out of the court. They've tried to say I can't represent myself or I can't represent someone else, but generally speaking, you can. It's just an uphill battle. Every time you go into court, you have to fight the judge before you can fight your case. That's a major problem. You're not going to get much of any justice in. You're not going to get much of any justice in the courts right now. But educating yourself right now and preparing is the important thing. By the end of the year, when devolution comes and plays out, that's when we're going into the courts. That's when you'll be able to go into the courts and start to get some wins. Until then, I don't know. It's very difficult, very, very difficult. You know, we've been involved in hundreds of cases, literally, and it's difficult.
Yeah, I have reviewed some of those and looked at a lot of the letter of intent that you guys have also sent out in regards to the COVID years and things of that nature. It is unfortunate to, you know, hear that once again because it is so... it is so hard, especially when you know that the situation at hand is, well, as referenced in this meeting, it's of law and equity, and it's...
Equity is legislative law, and legislative law and equity under a common law republic is to be under the common law, so... The laws that they write to control themselves, you know, government agencies, government officials, and also to deal with commercial activities, all of that still has to fall under the umbrella of common sense, common law. The law that's written in the heart, the law that's written in your common sense that God gave us. That's the law. It's very simple. It's very obvious. The people know it. They can figure it out. You don't have to have a high Q to have common sense. Most everybody's got it. You know, very, very few people, generally speaking anyway, don't have common sense, I guess. But it's common sense is normal in most people. So, anyway.
Okay.
Any before we move, because we got a lot of people in the queue right now.
Well, our goal is to do a redress of grievances, and we seek... I've noticed on your...
Redress of grievances with who now? With what government?
Well, it would be. I have done some investigations, and there has been some redress of grievances concerning individuals, but it's also in regards to the Packers and Starcards Act, consumer and deceptive practices.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, again, you're not going to get anywhere for a while. You know, remember, court cases can be opened up at a later date. There is no statute of limitations under common law, because statute of limitation is a statute, and under common law there are no statutes. There's no legislative authority.
Yes. In our situation, though, there's already been court claims coming forth due to a very tragic incident. So whereas the right to be sued and the capacity at which one to be sued, I guess, would be our directive in seeking, of course, you know, first chain of command being our Secretary of State.
Well, look,
on that video.
This is what I suggest to people. Become your own lawyer, okay? Go take the course, court access in the common law. Take our course. It's a law course, 80 hours. It'll give you the ability to write your papers. It shows you how the papers are written, you know, what papers are needed. We go through all the forms, and we lay out the process and the procedure, how due process works in the court, how the court case from the beginning all the way to the end works, with the different parts of the case, and how it works. I mean, that's what the course is all about.
Yeah,
and because no one's going to be able to take on your case better than you. And you're not going to get a bar attorney take on your case, at least not properly. If they take on your case, they're going to betray you. They're going to be doing things that you don't want them to do. If
it's
I would have
taken on your more so that we unfortunately don't have that.
Don't have what?
That experience and or knowledge, of course, you know, we're reinventing ourselves. We are taking that approach for sure. But
the highest grade that I ever got to, I was the eighth grade. I went to the ninth grade and I dropped out of the ninth grade. So I only have an eighth grade education. I'm self-educated. And if I could do it, anyone can do it. You know, look at things that you work on. It's only a matter of putting time. The more time you put into something, the more it sticks into the brain. Before you know it, starts falling out of your tongue. It's that simple. You know, you just have to put the time in and spend the time. If you really want to be able to understand the law, then you say to yourself, well, a lawyer spends 2 years in school just to become a basic lawyer. Then you got to go to the bar and all the other exams and blah blah blah, all that BS. You know, we have a 90-hour course. You know, it could take you 2 years to go through, depending on how you run, you know, you take it. But if you really push through it hard, and then you spend the time, you know, time is what's going to take, working and practicing and putting these things together. It's going to school. That's if you want to take the law course. But at least if you're getting a certain amount of knowledge, at least then you can hire a lawyer and say, hey, buddy, you're second chair. I'm the guy running this course, you know, this case, but I need your assistance because you have certain knowledge that I don't have, so help me through the process. You can write some papers, but I'll let you know what, you know, but I'll finalize that paper, because they'll write a BS paper of civil law. You're going to bring in common law. You know, it's problematic working with law. We need to teach our children in school. By the time their children come out of school, by the time they come out of high school, they should have the ability of a lawyer. We can give them the knowledge in school. Now they just have to get the experience.
I highly agree. I've actually been pushing this on my kids as well, and I had taken the initiative to your guys' organization prior to this incident, but unfortunately, this incident being something that wasn't necessarily knowledge I'd seeked into this organization simply because of it, but just the series of events that came into play. But I did see where you guys took or have a section to request court observers. So I was interested to know more about that.
Yeah, we had a great guy running our court observers, and we kind of lost him some years back, and we've had a few people, but nobody seems to stick with it. We're looking for volunteers that can organize that kind of thing, you know, and work with us. We need a lot of volunteers, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
As, you know, we have on our page here for registering, you know, I mean, yeah, for registering your district, you know, your county committee of safety, we have 10 districts. A lot of these people, or some of these people, we're having a meeting tomorrow, so we're going to find out who of these people are not active, because there are people here that are not answering the phone. And if you don't get the person in your district, you can try the district next to you or whatever, another district, and maybe they can refer to someone that may be handling your district, you know, which is whatever your state district, your state is in. And you get some help. But the main thing is anybody that wants to volunteer for these positions, and if we do ever get, we have to get funded at some point in time. We're hoping for funding. So we're looking for someone with deep pockets to do that because, you know, we only get $5 here and $5 there to keep the lights on, so to speak. But at some point in time, we'd like to go professional. And these 10 positions would be professional positions, and they'd be paid positions once we get funded. And there are other positions in National Liberty Lines that would be paid positions at some point in time. But right now, it's all volunteer. So anybody who wants to volunteer for these jobs, we need district coordinators. Just get a hold of Jan, J-A-N, at nationalalliance.org. Let them know that you're interested in being a district coordinator. Or, you know, we need people help with research. We need people help with all kinds of things. So anybody who's got expertise and would like to volunteer some of their time with us, just get a hold of Jan. Let them know what your expertise is, what knowledge, what you'd like to do, and let's do it. We need help. You know, right now we're all volunteers.
Thank you very much. I definitely will be looking into this, and I appreciate your guys' feedback and, as always, the information. It has resonated for me in a way I could have never, wisdom in which I've been, you know, you always ask God to give you wisdom, in a sense, whereas my sense of wisdom was always the answer to such things that I felt within your guys' study. It put the pieces together for me, not only the laws of our land, but also a more directive to also pass on the word of God in relation to this as well. It's, like I said, it's made a huge impact on my life, and I truly appreciate everything you guys are doing. And well, I will definitely look into supporting as well.
Well, God, in the name of Jesus Christ is the king of our court. The founding fathers were clear with that. Matter of fact, it was Jefferson who wanted to use Jesus Christ in the Declaration instead of nature's God. But again, they ended up with nature's God, and I guess that's okay. But the bottom line, it's the God of the Bible, okay? And so, yeah, we're deeply seated in Christian position because that's what our founding documents are. You know, they really are. They're common law documents. That brings us right to the Bible. The Bible is the common law. So that's the key. But yeah, we also have Bible studies for anybody interested. You can get information on that under Education Starts Here. Click on Bible studies, and you can join our Bible studies. We have them every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. right here in this room, 7:30 to 8:30 every Wednesday. We're in the book of Matthew right now. We just finished the book of Revelation, but we're in the book of Matthew now. I think we're moving into the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. But we have all of this in video also. You can get it up on Rumbles. So, but you can come here to the Bible study, and you can click on the book of Gospel according to Matthew, and you can catch up. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Part 6 will be this Wednesday. So you can always go back and catch up on these studies to get the whole book of Matthew if you're interested in anybody else. But with that, we'll move to the next caller. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Looks like Nancy from Michigan, is it?
Hello?
Nancy? Go ahead. You got the mic.
Nancy, Wayne County, Michigan. I went to court today with a friend to help him file bankruptcy because he's in foreclosure, but they got him in landlord-tenant. The landlord-tenant told him that he had to explain to the judge why he was supposed to be allowed to file bankruptcy. My question is, if I do a motion to compel discovery, debt validation, and answering of interrogatories, will that put them off, or do you have a better solution?
Now, you're going to bankruptcy court. Are you going to the bankruptcy court to file bankruptcy, or someone else's?
He is. I just went with him to help him through the process.
Okay.
Chapter 15.
I've worked a bankruptcy case before I even knew the law, and I just did a case many years back. And you go out, and of course, you just find a court with the bankruptcy court. There's a book out there on, goodness, it's been a long time since I did this, but there is a book that you'll find on the site, wherever the bankruptcy court is in your state. And, you know, there's a handbook on the procedure and the process, and you can download that and go through it. It's pretty simple, really. It's not a lot involved. It's really filling out some forms and enlisting all of the all your creditors, and
right.
And make a notice to them, and then bring it into the court. And it was a slam dunk, the one I did. It was very simple and a slam dunk. And I didn't have knowledge of the court system at that time when I did it.
Is there a better thing to petition? Okay, what I was going to try to do was petition the bankruptcy court to order or compel his lender to answer the interrogatories, the debt validation.
Why do you need that? If you're filing bankruptcy, why do you need that?
Well, because we started the process and they're not responding.
You don't have to worry. You don't want them to respond. Trust me. Look, there's a form to be filled out. There's a handbook you can get. You download. You follow the instructions. They give you a handbook. In the handbook, it gives you the forms. You fill out the forms, answer all the questions, and you do, and you certify it, you know, notarize it. And you list out all of the creditors, okay? And then it's up to you to mail that bankruptcy paper that you put together, which was very simple, but you put
right.
that whole work together, and you mail a copy to every one of your creditors, and you get proof of service on every one of them. You file that with
right.
the You go to court, it's done. If they don't respond in 30 or 60 days, whatever it is that's given, I forget, they don't respond, the court moves on. If they do respond, the judge will hear their position. In most cases, it'll be denied because there's very few things that can be denied in a bankruptcy court. Very few things.
The landlord-tenant judge is refusing to accept the
I don't know the landlord-tenant
bankruptcy.
That doesn't tell me anything. The landlord-tenant judge, what are you talking about? That's not a bankruptcy court.
He was in landlord-tenant court.
Okay.
They have refused to
accept.
Okay,
hold on a minute. I can't get too deep into this case because we've got a lot of people and we're way over time. Maybe we can talk more depth at a later time, but generally speaking, to give a little more information, are you saying that the person who's filing bankruptcy is also a landlord?
No. He is in landlord-tenant court. They're trying to evict him without obeying the order from the bankruptcy
court. I don't know how that works on that, to be honest with you. That's kind of a specialty. I think that they can, if you're not paying your rent, they can still kick you out. I can see that possibility. I don't think they have to even worry about bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is going to take a long enough time. You're not going to be able to hold that court off much longer. You know, you might be able to hold them off for 30 to 60 days, but you ain't going any further than that. Bankruptcy is going to take you probably 6 months to go through the whole process.
Okay. They won't take the letter.
Well, the
only district court will not take the letter from the bankruptcy court.
It doesn't matter. Just you mail it to them. You do a proof of service, and you have them. Yeah, you can have the sheriff serve them if you want. But look, you get someone that's not part of the case. You do all the paperwork, but you get someone who's not part of the case. They take the paperwork. You actually put it all in the envelope, put it all together.
Yep.
But you got to get someone else to go and put it into the mail, and and it has to be mailed both by regular mail and certified mail. And then they have to fill out a piece of paper. It's called a proof of service. They fill out a piece of paper, get those forms on our website. And then you file that with the court. Who cares whether they respond or not? They're not. A lot of people don't respond to the bankruptcy thing, and that's good because then there's nothing to argue. I only had one person, the case that I had done, only one person came to the court, and the judge just kicked them aside because it's irrelevant. They have to have something really good to be able to prevent or get something out of that case, okay? So whatever he owes the landlord, he's going to get rid of that in bankruptcy court, but I don't think it's going to be able to, in any way, to prevent him from being kicked out if that's what the landlord's doing. But that's all I can offer you right now. We've got a lot of people in the queue. We can try to talk to them more in another time, maybe.
Okay.
Right. But you're not going to be able to do anything in that court, I don't think. Don't worry about them. Just serve it to the landlord that you owe. You shouldn't even do it to the court. It should be done to the landlord.
We did.
Serve the paper to him, not the court.
We did.
Okay. Then you
did.
If you've done it properly, it's done. Okay, I gotta move on. Thanks, Nancy. Okay, Arjun, if I'm pronouncing that right, next caller, what's your state?
Greetings. Good evening. Hope you guys are well. So I'm in San Francisco, and my friend has a ongoing case with the city for being fired for not taking the injection. And I volunteered my help.
You're not going to get anywhere with that probably right now, but you will by the end of the year, when devolution plays out, you'll be able to get satisfaction on those now.
Yeah, well, my question is a little different. I understand that, but they went in. I'm getting involved in the middle here, and I'm reviewing what's happened. And I'm wondering, my question is it going to be, does it make sense to keep going in this direction or like start a new court case altogether?
Well, if you filed a case and you've done it correctly and you got a good position and it's a winner, okay.
Well, it hasn't been done correctly because the original petition, it was a petition for alternative writ of mandate, and the law that was included in that case.
Well, again, that's a problem because you don't. Sovereign people don't ask for permission to do anything. They do it, okay?
Right.
You know, one of the things, I'm trying to remember, I think it's Rule 60, the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 60, they abrogated the writs, the power and the authority of the sovereign. We, the people, are the sovereign. We're the kings, okay? And we have the right of these writs. So a writ mandamus, I never put a petition into a writ mandamus. I've served writ mandamuses. I don't ask for permission.
Right.
Now, in most cases, they don't acknowledge it. They ignore it. You know, they're looking at their civil law, their Roman law. They're not looking at common law to begin with. And if you're in the middle of a case and it's been done right, you pursue it up the line. It doesn't matter if you lose it up the line because now your case is preserved for the future. You just can reopen it again at a later time because this was a time when they were not obeying the law. This case, as long as you wrote a powerful case. Now, if it hasn't been written correctly, you got two choices. You can back out and refile. First of all, you probably never got an answer, so you have the ability to refile. But you refile it as a court case, okay? And you have to know how to do that, and you need to do it under the common law with the proper process and the procedures, you know, which is due process. All the court works the same. All courts work the same way as far as process and procedures go. But it's the contents of your information that you put in, how you couch and put the case together. That's got to be done properly. And if you've done it properly, if you didn't do it properly, you can resubmit it and do it properly. And you're probably going to lose, so you could take it to the appellate court, okay? You're probably going to lose there. Most state courts, well, I know here in New York we have the Court of Appeals and the appellate. So there's two steps after that. Then after that, there's you go to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, on your case on that. And But if you want to push it up that line, it gets a lot involved. You got to understand how to do that. There's a lot of paperwork involved going up onto the Supreme Court. I'm just learning that right now. And, you know, or you can just wait until, and then you can preserve your case if you lose, but, or you could just wait till you get to the end of devolution, file your case. There's already going to be a setup for people who have been damaged. And you can either take that or whatever it is that they're going to give you. And if you don't take that and you say, I think it's more I want to fight my case. So you can fight your case, okay? The thing is, remember, look, at we're taking out the elite. They control 90%, if not more, of the entire economy of the world. We're talking not billions of dollars. We're talking trillions of dollars that's going to be seized. All that is seized. There's liquidity. There's gold. There's silver. There's all kinds of other metals. There's properties, real properties. There's all kinds of things, you know, stock, corporations, all going to be sold off once we take it away from them, because that's what we're doing. That's what devolution is doing. Well, all of that money is going to be funneled into someplace, and it's not only America that's going to get a part of that money. You know, that's a worldwide thing, because this is not just the United States fighting the New World Order. We have at least 20 other nations working on this, and it's the most powerful nations. And the rest of the world is going to come along. But all these people that have been trying to bring us into the New World Order will end up in court, and they'll be dealt with justly by the people. And all of the things that they've stolen, and their grandparents and their great-grandparents and so on and so forth, all the way down, whatever they got, we're taking it. And it's going to be liquidated. And the benefits of the liquidation is going to go to we the people. So a lot of those things is going to be dealt with across the board. You've been injured by the taking the jab. Well, you're going to be compensated. Some people may be compensated more depending on how much injury there's involved. That whole system is going to be set up, and there's a lot that off the bat I can see what should be done is right off the bat every individual in the United States, and this would eventually, of course, work out into the entire world, we'll get something, because we've all been injured. We're all you know, casualties of war, you know. All my life, we've ultimately been casualty of wars. I've watched this, and I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. In the 50s was and the early 60s was a very, very different world than what is today. And I see the process and the injury and a lot more maybe than people who were born in the past 20, 30, 40 years, you know. So, again, all that's going to work out. It's kind of almost like, goodness, the idea of, if I could think of the word here. Well, I can't think of it, so. But anyway, there's a biblical principle on this. And the biblical principle will be... Okay.
Her court is set up properly. That's my question. Does it make sense to move and go forward since?
Well, if you paid the money, if you paid the money to open the case up,
as an amended action instead, as a plaintiff.
Yeah, exactly. You can amend the whole action if you paid the money to get into the system, which you shouldn't have to do. At the end of the day, you want your money back too. But
yeah,
you know, that's another battle. But anyway, if you're in the system, you put money out on it, and nobody's answered, you can amend it and do it properly. You want to do it with an action at law. That's what you want to do.
Okay.
But with that, we've got to move on. Okay?
Thank you.
Van, you got the mic. What's your state?
All right. You hear me?
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
All right. This is Van. I was... in your meeting months and months ago, I've done a lot of study work through the NLA, not including, man, you name it. I've been listening to seminars after seminars and going through all sorts of things. I've just started a really good committee of common law, judicial common law here in Texas in Burnett County. I'm the Burnett County COS on your page. I have used a lot of the information that you've provided, but I'm steering a little bit different course, and I don't mean to do anything, but the thing is I'm trying to keep it simple, because I'm an engineer, and that's what I believe in, and the people around me, they they're not going to read all your classes and stuff.
No, they're not. No, no, they're not.
They want it in a nutshell, man. They want it explained to them.
I understand. Hold on.
A picture.
I understand.
My biggest question is, because you did show something on here that really tweaked me. You already talked about the capital letters and the capital names. You know about the DMV and all the cities. You know what de facto and de jure is. You know all this stuff. It's there. People don't. I'm teaching them. I'm passing the word. And I've started a committee. Right now we're up to 19 people. 19 I just got. And I'm going together and we're meeting every Thursday. And we're building, we're going to have a common law grand jury formed here. And I haven't seen anything on your site about any grand jury formation. But first of all, we're getting out of the corporation. Because you can't do it in the all caps name.
Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on. Okay, hold on a minute, because you got a lot of things here we're talking about and we need to address.
Sorry, I'm going all over the place. You're right.
But look. First of all, we are doing something about the grand juries. We have a special education for individuals who are interested in working with the grand juries. It is a wrongdoing to set up a grand jury that's sitting and operating and just going on and on and on. Grand juries have to, you know, be changed. It depends on where the grand jury is, how much work they got to do, and how often they need to be changed. Because people have lives to live. They got careers, they got work, whatever it is, businesses. They can't sit on a grand jury for months on end or 6 months. And to do so would be a wrongdoing anyway. That's number one. In the beginning, when we were trying to figure this out, we were thinking on those terms, trying to create grand juries in each state. But what we came up with this is we organized grand jury in every single state of this union, all 50 states. We included, that includes Alaska, Hawaii, and of course, you know, the rest of the states. So we've already done that. And the whole plan was as follows. These grand juries came together in each state. They organized, they got a seal, they got an address. And then they submitted that information to us. We have all the paperwork, all the seals, all the addresses, everything up on the website. I think it's all under the federal court cases. I think you'll find it under there. Now, what we've done is those 50 grand juries came together, and what they did is they organized a uniform state common law grand jury. That's what they did. Then they came together, all 50 states, and we organized a unified United States common law grand jury. Now, we worked quite a few years to put this together. Hold on. I'm not done.
You're going too far, too fast.
Well, let me finish it, because let me just finish this point. I'm going to have to mute you to finish this point. All right, I'm sorry, I had to mute you. This is not just for you. It's for everyone else that's listening, okay? The point is we created the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. It's important for you to understand how we did that. And we have filed hundreds of cases in the federal courts. We filed cases in state courts, county courts, city courts, town courts, village courts. Okay? Hundreds of cases we have out there. Okay? Now, we've done this, and we did indictments. We have over 100 indictments, I believe, or close to it, if not. Okay? So we've done indictments. We've worked on different kinds of cases in order to prove that there is a conspiracy and that each one of these judges are operating. It doesn't matter whether they're in Texas or New York or Missouri. It doesn't matter where they're at. They're all doing the same thing. They're all breaking the same law. They're all following the same plan. The whole point was to put this together, file in the court, and find out how they dealt with all these cases. Okay, so they subverted every one of these things. But the point is this, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury came up for the one purpose, to deal with enemies both foreign and domestic. Anybody who wants to get involved in the administration of the grand juries can sign up. That's a paid position, okay? But that position is not going to be opened. You have to be educating now, preparing now, because at the end of the year, that's when these things are going to be opened up and the people are going to take their courts back. because a common law court is run by the people. It's not run by a judge. It certainly is not run by a bar association. So we've already done that. Now, what we're trying to do is to get grand jury administrators in every single county. There's over 3,000 counties in the United States. So we need 5 people to take on the job in each county. That's a paid position. If you look on the right-hand side of our website here, and you come down towards the bottom here, you'll see every county has been constituted for the purpose of this grand jury situation. We have a total of 1,266 grand jury administrators, people who have signed up for it. I don't think they're all active. Matter of fact, I know they're not all active. We've got to try to stimulate them to get them a little more busy because they need to be getting into there. The people fail when they fail to come take the cases, you know, take the courses. We have organized 184 county committees of safety. I just want to make that note. I think last time we looked, I think it was 167 or something like that. So we pulled in a couple of, maybe almost 20 more committees of safety since last time, I think, because I think we were about 160-something. But the bottom line is, okay, the grand jury administrators is what we need. We need 5 in each county, 4 of them that are administrators and 1 paralegal who's also administrator. They orientate the juries. They make sure they're free and independent juries. We wrote a handbook, which is really what they're going to orientate them with. If it's a grand jury, we wrote a handbook for grand jury so that they can orientate the grand jury properly and lawfully and give them the power and the authority that the people have. Same thing with trial juries. We want to take control of the trial juries because the people have to take control of these. You know, if you watch what's going on right now, they say it's going to take 3 weeks to get the juries, the jury together. They need a jury of 12 people, and they want to have six other individuals just in case, but 12 jurors, and they say it's going to take 3 weeks to choose these jurors. I forget how many pages, 100 and some odd pages of questionnaires. What's that all about? That's all unlawful. These juries are being stacked. That's what's going on down there, okay? We need to take it away from these people. It's a very simple questionnaire for jurors. There's very, very few questions that need to be asked. Not 100 plus pages, okay? So we're already seeing the problem that has to be corrected, all right? And the people have to correct that problem. Now, those people that are going to correct that problem have got to become educated. And if they're not willing to become educated, then they can't take the position because it's an important position. They have to take every course that National Liberty Alliance has in order to become a jury administrator. Now, they could be taking that at the time that they are a jury administrator because they'll still do a better job than what, and we'll give them some basic instruction, but they'll still do a better job than what any judge or bar attorney would do. So we have to empower them, okay? So that's what we're doing there. So we are doing a lot. We've been doing this. We started this process going back, I think, 2013. We completed the process in 2016. It's up to the people to get educated. Now, as far as the other people in the committees of safety and their education, you're absolutely right. And a lot of people just are not going to do that. Why? Because they were not educated properly in the beginning. They have not really been realized how important education is. And maybe they know, but they may be lazy educational-wise or whatever the case may be. We need to get into our schools. We have a plan to get into our schools, a plan to proper education for our children. Their children need to know that when they become adults, they need to give back. They need to put their time in and give back to this great nation of ours that's offering the liberty that we have. And they need to be the preservers of that. So we need to educate children to come to a better understanding of how important education is. But meanwhile, you know, Thomas Jefferson said, well, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. So if you have 5 people in your committees of safety that's really serious and is educating themselves, okay, and you'll probably get more than that as time goes on, but 4 or 5 people will have their own specialty. I'm telling you, some people will want to see it all and do it all. You do
I
get
have up to 40 people in one of my meetings.
Okay.
I think there's something going on here in this county, and I think it's about the boom.
Well, one of the things you need to do is get them to a Monday night meeting because they can get a lot of information here. Look at
the thing is they want to focus and they want to get things done now.
Well, then they're not going to get no then way. they're not going they're not going to get it done. It's that simple.
Right, but they've got to get their status standing and jurisdiction. That's the key, listening. Status standing and jurisdiction.
No, you don't. We already have status, so we always already have jurisdiction. Listen.
No, you don't. You're all caps name. You don't. And I know that's a silly thing.
Okay, I'm muting you again only because I'm trying to tell you things and you're not listening, okay? This cap thing, we're not going to argue the cap thing and make ourselves following their rules, the plan that they put out. They created that whole system. That whole system is a fraud, and that's what we're doing. We're fighting the fraud. If you go read our papers, we have a whole different focus on how to deal with this problem. We're certainly not going to say, I'm going to prove my standing, I'm going to file my papers in the county, I'm going to put down the information I got to put down that I'm one of the people and this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going to a court and I'm going to get rid of the caps, and you're going to follow all their, this is their rules, by the way. This is their rules. It's a fraud, okay? So you do all of that. And then you get before the judge, you click your heels, and you say, you think you're going to go into a court of justice, and you're not. It's their game. You can't win
it's
it there.
It's their court. You're right. It ain't.
No, but the building belongs to us. The judge will pay that.
It's incorporated. The building.
I got to mute you because there's other people here, and we're going into way too many subject matters. Got to do one at a time. I'll just finish off with this one here, okay? It does not matter. We own the buildings. Yes, we're making a case, and the case is a record, and it's being recorded, what NLA is doing anyway. Our cases are recorded. We have hundreds of cases. We can prove that the judge out in Washington, the state of Washington, or in Texas, or in Missouri, or Montana, or New York, or New Jersey, or Connecticut, or any place else, they're all breaking the law the same way, with the same words, on the same kinds of cases. That's proof of conspiracy. We're going in for conspiracy. We're waiting to devolution play out. We're going in for conspiracy. Anybody who goes into the courts thinking they're going to fight this thing with this idea of the man on the land, and they're going to make all of these statements and think that all of a sudden they're going to fear them and they don't care. They are lawless. And the law is the only way to defeat these people. We're positioning ourselves. We're teaching people, if they're doing cases, to position themselves in a certain way. You're not going to win now. And very rarely, there could be a case here. I won a case against the IRS. I got an apology letter, and I got a release of lien. Okay? That's a rarity, an extreme rarity. I don't know anybody who's accomplished that. The point is I don't know that I can do it again, because now they put up, when someone wins in court against these people, they study that and figure, okay, next time someone comes in this way, this is what we're going to do, okay? And it's all out. Right now, I got another IRS case. I'm fighting it in two different courts. It doesn't matter. Actually, it's really one on the federal, but we have one on the state because it led us into state issues. So we have two cases, one in the state and one on the federal level, okay? The judge is outright just doesn't care. Does not care at all. This man belongs in jail. We have enough to put him in jail, okay? But it's not going to happen right now because they have no fear. They own the Justice Department. They back each other up, and you're not going to get him right now. They own it all. You're not going to win. Again, in rare cases, you may. But the cases have been made for a point. That's why we did it. We knew we would lose almost everything. And we only won a couple of cases, a few habeas corpuses, a couple of non-judicial foreclosures. Other than that, we've lost everything else. No surprise to us. We understood that was probably going to happen, but we built the cases. But the people who we filed for that lost their homes, they are going to get their homes back. The people who have been in jail and refused their right of due process, we filed habeas corpuses and they were ignored, thrown out of the court, okay? They're gonna be restored handsomely, okay? But it's not until after we get our courts back. We have already written the papers to take our court back, okay? We have over 20 memorandums of law backing up the case that we have. We've stated every point, every violation of the federal courts. We're ready to take that federal court back. But we're not going to be able to do that until devolution plays out. It's just not going to happen. We tried getting it to the United States Supreme Court, and the clerk over there keeps blocking it and sending our paperwork back, and we can't get it in. They're not taking our case. So they have doorkeepers over there. Even they, to a certain degree, are controlled, of course. But the bottom line is, we've already set the record. We got our papers everywhere. And so we filed we're ready to file a case against the federal judiciary, ultimately for subversion, but ultimately, generally speaking, we want our courts of law back open. We want our courts of justice, okay? So we are doing something on the law end. We're doing something on building up the people and educating the people who want to get educated in order to take on the position of a jury administrator. And again, I'll tell you again, it's a paid position, pays handsomely, it's got great benefits, and the job of those people is to orientate, to bring the juries together, orientate the juries, prepare them to give them a liberating understanding of what they're doing. We've written books on this. We've got handbooks on this. This is everything is written up. Everything that needs to be done has a handbook. But you're right. Most people are not going to do it. If you got 40 people, you know, they're still going to be helpful. They're going to do little things. They'll be led by a subcommittee leader who has some basic knowledge and is learning, and they're going to say, this is what we need you to do, simple things. They're going to learn during that process anyway. But when it comes to the time of bringing someone in and putting them on the ballot, everybody goes out and walks the papers to get the statesman that they want to put in that position to get them onto the ballot. So they bring them and get them onto the ballot. They'll participate there too. They'll fill the rooms up and be the mob, so to speak, to fill a room up and have standing room only and even flowing out the doors, okay, when you go to talk to the school boards, when you go to talk to the town boards, the city boards, whatever, the county legislators. That's how we take it back. Most people don't need knowledge, but we do need some people who do, okay? And we they will get knowledge as they participate anyway. So they'll become better and better at that, okay? And then the fruits of their labor is a great taste. That'll make it even stronger. And the Committee of Safety should be involved in education. We have lots of educating videos where you pay a 20-minute video on a Monday night when you're doing the whole programming, maybe in the beginning or at the end, you put a 20-minute video that's going to teach people something. And again, you'll have people who will get highly educated. They will show up. But the bottom line, as Jefferson said, and this is it, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. All right, I'm going to give you a mic back, and you can finish your or whatever you want, but don't keep it too long because people and I got to close down.
You got it. I was going to go back to my original question, and it had to do with the capitis dementio.
It's irrelevant to us. It doesn't mean anything to us. We know what it means to them. We're not going to play ball with them.
So, I happened to look at Loy Brunson's case.
Yeah.
And right in the first two pages of it, he did his case against All Cap Named People, which is their corporate name, which is their, prisoner of war type name.
You're not going to get anywhere with that. This has been
exactly.
around.
Exactly. So you can't.
1871.
Okay. So common law is still a man and woman, and that's what you're going after.
That's right. We don't need nothing more. We're the lawmakers. We make the law. We can prove that. We proved that in court already.
What Mickey Klan's doing. She's the fireball going on. She's got everything.
I'm familiar with that. She got somewhat educated here. She's using the ritual wanto. I'm sure she altered it the way she wants to alter it, and that's good because you have to. We've taught people how to do a ritual wanto, what its purpose is, what its power, and everything, the structure of it, and it's meant. The ones that we did, it's meant for people to take and make it theirs. So they did that. I know Gerard, who's a co-founder here at National Liberty Alliance. He's trying to make contact with her to talk with her and see how she's doing. And we'd like to assist her if she's doing anything wrong, if she's capable of taking on correction. Some people aren't, but I think she is. you know, I've listened to her talk. I've listened to what's going on. I think she's got a few problems or a little errors, but it's a great work that she's doing. Don't want to knock it at all. I'll support her. Matter of fact, if you go on our website, we do have a page on her. I think it's under Starter Committee of Safety. Yeah, Bond for the Winds, okay? We put her videos up on our website. We're familiar with her.
That's our goal. That's what our committee is doing here, and we're going for the bonds of these.
Yes, but yes. Did you listen?
We've got FOIA is going out on everybody.
Were you here on last week's program, last Monday?
No.
Okay. All right. That's okay. We recorded it. I'm going to tell you, we have a program more powerful than what she's doing, but hers is not unpowerful. It's powerful. It's good. And again, I don't know all the details. Gerard's looking into that, and he'll brief me on what's going on, and eventually, hopefully, we'll have conversation with her and hopefully work together and find correction. You know, we take correction here from time to time. People will correct us, and we've made corrections over the years, a lot of corrections, you know, because you make errors. And I'm sure we still have some errors, and someone will correct us eventually, hopefully. But the bottom line is this. If you go out to today's issues, under today's issues, you come down to today's issues on our drop-down list, okay? Come down to NLA's Monday Open Forum videos. It's two down, okay? Now, if you come down here, this is last week's, How to Take Back Our Schools, Villages, Towns, Cities, Counties While Growing Your Committees of Safety. We have an extremely powerful process that involves the sheriff on serving our writ quo wanto. And there's a process and a procedure we set up.
But
and
he's the devil in the house, too. It's so sad.
Well,
he's been,
they're all, well, ignorant.
He's paid by the city, county of.
Then you can't call him the devil. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's got to go to the county.
Listen to me.
He goes to the county bar attorney to get his information. He goes to the bar county attorney to get his information. When he has a legal issue, that's where he goes. Why? He was trained that way, just like you were trained the way you were, and I was trained the way I was. I was ignorant to this until 1999. That's when my eyes were open, in 1999. Prior to that, I was as ignorant and stupid as everyone else. You know, you go and get a ticket, you go to court and you pay the ticket because everybody's guilty, and you move on and you keep going. You're just a slave, and you're being beaten by taking your money and time to go to court and all this other crap for code violations that have nothing to do with me. We understand all that. We have a process and a procedure to deal with that too. But the bottom line, though, is this, okay, is that the people have to get themselves free. And they have to come into the courts in a proper manner. They have to set the case. Right now, if you set the case properly and you lose the case, it's okay because you can resurrect it later. That's the key here, because the truth will always prevail. But if you're going to go and you're going to talk about your standing and you're going to file your paper of who you are as one of the people with your county, and you're going to serve that maybe upon these people, and you're going to use their talk about their cap letters and make those arguments, okay, you're going to get absolutely nowhere. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people online teaching this stuff, and they're wrong, and they're getting people in trouble. That's a problem, okay? There's a guy that played the game with the money because he went after the CESQ account, and he tried to use it to pay a bill. And he did something with the government. I think it was the IRS. I don't remember. And they sent him a check, $100,000 in change. It was $140,000. It was a big check. And he cashed it. And 30 days later, they took his door down. He was traveling at the time. Oh, so he wasn't home. But his wife was home and his kids were home. It was a real thing, big thing for them to have to go through all that. Nevertheless, he's been on. I spoke with him a couple of times when he was on the run on the road. He couldn't go home. Then I stopped hearing from him. I don't know if they caught him or what happened. But he's on the run. Why? Because he went through the process that they set up. You can't play in their world. You're going to lose. That's for them. It's not for you. When you die, they're going to collect money off your CESQ account because your chattel, your livestock, you have a value. And that's the game. A CESQ account has been created for each one of us. And it just builds up and builds up and builds up. And when you die, they come and collect it. You know, you go try to collect that, or your spouse, or whatever. Okay, you're going to find yourself in jail, is what you're going to find. I'm telling you, these people, they say they have wins, they say they have this. I don't believe it at all. Now again, wins for the, what do you call it? What's the name of it? Wins for, let me go look at
bonds.
That. Yeah, wins for the bonds. It's a good thing. I like it. I think we have a more powerful plan because we do it a little differently. And we use the sheriff. Now, you say the sheriff is a bad guy. It's only because he's ignorant. Again, if you follow the protocol, we have a plan. How do we talk about it? Go watch the video. This is last week.
If they swear to a different constitution,
no,
or swear to a different... How do you do that? How do you figure that out? And how do they get paid if they're not getting paid by county on?
Because they don't know. Don't you understand? They're as ignorant as us. When you free them and they come and they have an awakening, they say, whoa, that's the law. Whoa, I understand. How are they going to get to that knowledge? Right here, government by consent. Start off with your sheriff. Get them the book, government by consent. It's $39. Go get them the book. And then, and if you follow the procedure in the, on the Committee of Safety, you know, and you go through this process and you follow that, okay, then and you go to and get them a copy of the book, then you set up a meeting, and eventually we teach you how to reel them in, because you got to educate them to bring them in. And if after you educate him, if he's not the right guy, and you got your committee going and starting to really grow, well, your political committee can do the process and set the paperwork up to pull this guy out of office. We can do a recall out of office in 90 days. We'll bring in another sheriff. Okay? That's the power of the people. And we'll bring in a sheriff, and we'll only support a sheriff that's going to obey the law. We have handbooks on this. We have a sheriff's handbook. We have an elected official's handbook. They need to know the law. They need to understand what their powers and authorities are. And again, until you teach them, all they know is what you knew before you had your awakening. You were, you know, as much of a moron as he is, and as I was. I speak to myself first, okay? Because I didn't know any of those things. But my research, when I became interested in this, and I started researching things, and it led to another thing, to another thing, and to another thing. And I've written about 12 books now at this point, and it's all about trying to take this nation back. But you're only going to have a small percentage that's going to get highly educated. I agree. But I think the kids coming out of school, if the Lord doesn't come before that 20, 30 years down the line, they'll be more involved potentially, because their parents would have hopefully at least been involved, and they'll be better educated in a proper education in school. So that's the plan. We're working on all the levels.
Appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to take one other call. It's really late. As a matter of fact, maybe I shouldn't. It's too late. We're after 12. We usually close down at 11. Next week, I don't know what the subject matter is going to be, but I'm going to try to make it shorter, maybe only spend 20 minutes on a subject. We'll have more time on open forum. So anybody who's not in the queue, that didn't get tonight in the queue here to speak, try to get into the queue as soon as we open up, and when we get around to it, you'll be the first in line. All right, with that, I apologize for, we have about 8 people in the queue. I just can't take them. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. And again, before we go, let me just make this one point here. I get my mouse to work. Okay, where are we? All right, okay, under today's issue, come down to NLA Monday Open Forum videos. Okay, now, We've been starting recently to do put these up online on videos. We have all of our open forums on MP3s, but certain ones, when we're teaching something, and I want to really try to teach something every Monday if I can, we're going to post those up here, and they go out on YouTube and they go out on Rumble, and they're also put on this page. But anybody who wasn't here for last week, and especially you, Van, for what the information you were looking and talking about, you really need to listen to this one last week when you have the time. You can get this in audio too, but video is much more powerful in my opinion. let's see, Monday night open forum, administrative courts. We got involved in traffic court the week before. We had Sheriff Dar come on and talk with us the week before that. Again, if you missed these, you can catch up on them, you know. And again, even if you want, if you go over to our other page under Monday Night Call, you can download the MP3s and just listen to them as you're driving your vehicle or doing something mindless or whatever the case may be. You can be listening to these different conversations and information we've been given. But obviously, there's no video on it, just audio. But the video ones, again, we're going to try to do one a week, and again, teach something every week instead of just having open forums. But I will try to do it a little shorter. Okay, with that, thanks everyone for coming. We'll see you next week, hopefully. Good night, everybody.